Hey, KFC Radio listeners, you can find every episode of KFC Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Thursday night, 8 p.m. at Levity Comedy Club in West Nyack. It's up in Rockland County if you're in the burbs, or if you want to just pop out of the city for the night, come see us live on stage. It's our first time back doing the podcast live since coronavirus. So me and Fights will be up there doing our voicemails, Am I the Asshole, Top Fives. It's your favorite show live on stage. Click the link in the description to get tickets. Come on out and see us. We'll see you there.
There's a strong amount of people that are listening to this have probably watched a Peter North compilation of him coming on Chick's Face. Hey, the funniest is when he's doing it and it just keeps coming out and the girl
just
starts
going.
She goes out of character and
she's like,
laughing.
Yeah, yeah, she breaks.
She's like, what is happening?
Don't break.
She's like Jimmy Fallon on SNL. This is ridiculous. Yeah.
And you know he's sitting there like, I'm not even halfway done. Yeah. We've got like seven more ropes to go. Are you ready? It's another edition of KFC Radio on the Barstool Sports Network. We're back! Back in action after a week off. Hope you enjoyed the Best Of episode. Today, we've got the Spittin' Chicklets. All three of them. Biz Nasty, Ryan Whitney, Rear Admiral. All three of them on the show in what was one of my favorite interviews of the year. Without spoilers, I will tell you, I asked the question to the guys, if you were not doing Chicklets, if you didn't play hockey and now Chicklets, what would you do? And Paul Bissonnette's answer is magical.
I forgot all about this. I was like, I didn't know where you were going with it. I was like, that interview was so long ago, I just don't remember.
I know. We did it a couple weeks ago before the break. We wanted to hold on to it because we want to simultaneously air it with their answer, the internet, which is out right now and is even funnier than the interview. So you can go, when you're done listening to this, head over to the answer to the internet YouTube and watch that. Make sure you subscribe. Motherfucker. So the subscription thing on Answer the Internet is crazy because KFC Radio is one thing. Because KFC Radio's got some work to do. We're at 70,000 now. Oh, and by the way, because we did crack 70,000, I'm going to do a YouTube live AMA, Ask Me Anything. So we'll set that up soon. I don't care anymore. I will answer whatever the fuck you want. So come on over and ask me questions.
But you can only ask a question if you've been subscribed.
Right. You have in order to subscribe, it's a subscriber only comment section. So if you want your question answered, you got to subscribe. But I understand that one because it's like we get like 95% of our views are from people that are unsubscribed. But Answer the Internet has a quarter of a million subscribers, and it's still a fuck ton of views of people who don't subscribe. So if we could just
You said 5% are subscribed, right?
Yeah.
But that 95% of people who watch Answer the Internet are... I guess that makes sense because those go viral and get outside the bubble. But all the more maddening because if just a fraction of those people subscribed, we'd have over a million subscribers on Answer the Internet. So Answer the Internet should be a million subscriber product.
It will.
It will, but it's almost like, why is it not? It's like Barstool is just so behind on the YouTube, but the names that we've got and the shit that we've got, your favorite comics and celebrities saying, is second to none. There's just no other series out there that's getting the people of that caliber to say the ridiculous shit. And we're rolling out. We got Soder and Gillis kick things off. We got Chicklets next week. We got Ari Shaffir. I mean, everybody's coming through. So season four?
I was going to say
four, technically. Four.
Season four is cooking. So...
Three got cut short.
But please go subscribe if you do so. But yeah, we're back, baby. But Ryan Whitney's reaction to Biz's answer of what he would be doing if he wasn't a hockey player is like, that's why they're the funniest. Those guys, you could tell that was their first time ever on. We've done, I think Rear Ads has been on early on. I think we've talked to a couple of them here and there, but we've never had all the Chicklets on. You can tell, as good as those guys are talking about hockey, that they just want to let it rip. Yeah. Talk like that's where I always love. What I love most about KFC Radio is that we don't. It's like our what's it called? A gift and a curse, or a double edged sword, or one of those fucking phrases where it's like, yeah, being as broad as we are has probably hurt us in some ways, business wise or whatever. But also not having a fucking niche, not having something you have to
talk about. I gotta
talk
about this.
Not having to do anything. That's honestly, that's the goal in life, right? Like when people say, like, if you won the lottery, like, what would you do? Would you continue to work? I'm like, well, yeah, but then I wouldn't care.
Yeah.
Like, what sucks about work is not like – like, work is good. You get – like, you have a goal and you fulfill it and you keep busy and you – you know, it's the feeling of having to do it that sucks. If I could do this shit for fun and know that I don't really need to, then it becomes amazing.
Yeah, you can fire me whenever the fuck you want.
Right, right. And it's like you don't worry about ads. You don't worry about money coming in or revenue in any job. It's like – you know, I don't think I would continue, you know, selling insurance if I had a zillion dollars. But if I was doing anything that I somewhat enjoyed, it's just – it's my choice.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all life's all about.
I can stop whenever I want. I don't need you at all.
At all. Pure. That's also why sometimes doing nothing – you know, there's like – yeah, there can be no darkness without light. You know? You need – I feel like doing nothing – can become overkill when you have permanently nothing.
Yes.
It's like the best part about nothing is that you don't have to do all those other things. If all those other things disappear, it's like, well, now I feel like I should be doing something. Yeah, at least that's how I feel. I get like grass is always greener type vibes. I'm dropping all the euphemisms today. But it's like, as long as you don't have to do it, you can do whatever the fuck you want. So anyway, great answers from them. Very funny interview. We'll do our voicemails. We got top fives coming our way. But first, there's been a lot of shit that's gone on over the break. Johnny's back with a tan.
I got a tan. It's a fucking tan. I'm tan right now. It's crazy that anyone disagrees with
me. If you're watching on YouTube,
I'm clearly tan.
Please comment. Let's have a debate in the comment section. Is John tan? The switch from the orange shirt was a great move. Earlier, John was wearing like a burnt orange Texas Longhorn shirt.
I'm not sunburned. I'm tan.
And he was under some fluorescent lighting. And you looked straight Oompa Loompa.
I looked like a Oompa Loompa. There were some orange tones.
People were making fun of John to the point that he said he was going to slit Casey Smith's throat. Said, I will slit your throat straight up.
There was a big knife right there.
Nick moved the knife. Yeah. Nick took the knife away, being like, well, you never know with him. Could be. I mean, look, you are bright red.
It's the fucking lighting in this office.
No, well, what it is you look how red your face is, John. Wait, is that altered? That's legitimately not touched up.
No, that's not touched up.
Holy shit, John! No. The fact that you ever tried to say that this was
because I'm getting worked up and I yell a lot.
I was gonna say that's what it is. It's you screaming that you're gonna murder Casey Smith and the blood is pouring out of your fucking face.
I have a fucking nice. Crispy tan right now.
You went like fucking Dennis in the suburbs today. You were screaming, and that was who came over. Somebody came over who's not really part of the gang or whatever, and was like, "Your hair is orange."
Oh, Tommy Smokes.
Oh, it was Smokes. Right. He was like, "Yeah, your hair looks orange," and you were like, "What? No, it's blonde. It's lighter.
My hair's blonde."
It was this double whammy. It was like Casey came over and was like, "You're sunburned," and then Tommy was like, "Your hair's orange." You're like,
I get passionate about sunburn stuff because I'm the person who usually gets sunburned. I always have people tell me, "You got a sunburn," and I'm like, "I fucking know. It feels like my skin is on fire. I don't have to tell me that I got a sunburn. I know. I'm aware of sunburn." But when I don't have one, don't tell me I have one, because my skin doesn't hurt. So therefore, it's impossible to be sunburned if I'm not in pain. I have a tan.
Let me just say two things. Number one, for the flip calendar next year, mark down July 12th, 2021, I get passionate about sunburn stuff.
It's like most of my summers is spent with someone coming up and going, "Oh, got a sunburn, huh?"
And that's,
and I'm like, "Yeah, I fucking know."
And that is my second point. And part of the reason, you can roll it in there with the rest of why summer sucks. The office cubicle chronicle type of like, "Oh, got a lot of sun, huh? Oh, somebody got a sunburn. Oh, did you forget to wear sunblock?" Like, we're just going to comment on this all day, aren't we? We're just going to talk about this all fucking day. Why? Why do people care? And even a tan. I remember being at Deloitte back when I used to go out, like, you know, on the beach all summer, every weekend. So I was like fucking Puerto Rican. I would come back looking brown. And it was like, I wish I didn't, because, I mean, it was just constantly commented on. I would be like, "Stop talking about my skin color. Talk about who I am as a man. My skin color doesn't define me, goddammit." If I could change one thing about the world, the one thing wouldn't be hunger in African countries. It would be, I would like to go back to the time where pale was hot.
Like those
Victorian
British
times where it was like,
themselves?
Yeah, because it was like, if you're tan, that means you're a peasant who's out there working under the sun.
Right.
And meanwhile, the ballers are inside eating fucking like cucumber sandwiches, just being fat and pale. Imagine if we could just make fat and pale hot again. And because really. I would like to know.
Well, right now it wouldn't do any good anymore.
Oh, because you're so tan.
Because right now I'm too tan.
Because you're crispy tan.
Right now I would be told I'm a disgusting peasant. And because they've been, he's been out there all day. And you're goddamn right I have. But sure, come November when this tan's finally gone.
That's what sucks. It goes so quick. We get tan and by September 10th we're gonna be pale again.
It's
like getting skinny, like losing weight. You know, like it takes forever to lose 10 pounds. It takes 5 seconds to put it back on. But man, back when it was just like, oh, damn, that motherfucker's translucent. I'm gonna suck that guy's dick. Yeah, that's what I want. I want people to look at me and want to fuck me because I'm pale. That would be the greatest. I wonder if there is something. Do you think that there's something like actually going on in your mind where like. Tan skin is actually more what's the word for it? Like appealing to the human eye,
or is it just?
But is it, or is it
just marketing from the sun?
I don't know, because there was a time where the marketing of society said like pale is hot. I mean, not hot, but pale is desirable. But is there something where?
But now you see pale skin, like you
it just looks
see
gross.
My veins.
I agree.
Veins, they're my body. Why can I see them? My veins should not be visible, yet they are. Because, well, usually not right now.
Come on, tan. What is? You know what? It is just weird too that, you know, that your blood's blue.
There's some red in there too, right?
It's like a purplish.
Like different veins,
and then it hits the air and it gets red. That's at least what I understood to be true.
That's bullshit.
Sounds like an urban legend, kind of.
But, well, no, I mean, it's what happened. I've cut myself. It comes out red.
Well, it definitely comes out red, but I'm like, is it in there just, I mean, are your veins blue because it's just, like, fucking blue? I mean, like, my veins look the same color as my shirt.
Yeah.
So, technically, you could be like, this shirt is blood. Like, what color is that? Blood blue.
Blood blue.
That's the real
blood
answer.
Blood blue is a fucking cool color.
I think it would be so much cooler if it just stayed blue. If you bled blue, I'd be a cutter. I'd be like, look at that. Like, smear that blue on.
That would be awesome.
Imagine if I was a cutter and I just had blue all over me.
I wish you bled blue and pissed orange.
What if you bled blue? I would rather bleed blue. I would want to.
I actually do
pee,
piss orange sometimes.
I would want to pee. You piss orange
sometimes for sure. The super hangover. Yeah,
orange.
It's a very.
It's like a
dark. Yellow.
It's almost like the color of what your skin was.
Yeah,
like a burnt orange. You know,
it's a tan color.
I would like to bleed blue, pee green, poop pink.
Ugh.
Imagine
like cotton candy. I didn't like the way I received those words.
What color you want to shit?
Just had a bad taste in me. It was like, ugh. God, pink shit. Fuck
if,
off.
If you could make all your bodily functions colors, what would it be?
Okay. I'm actually going to stray from the pink of the pissing orange because I do that often enough.
Not healthy.
No, super unhealthy. Okay, so I'm going to go. If I am having trouble even thinking of colors.
Your boy is brain dead. Yeah. And it's not well, I don't
bro,
know.
I was scared to say words the first 5 minutes of the show. I am rusty as hell.
Yeah, no, the rust is real. We always get off. We get 1 week off for Christmas. We get 1 week off in July. And every year, it's gotten harder to keep coming back. Like a couple more years, I'm done.
Yeah, oh,
because I
sure.
Just won't be able to come back. I couldn't do ad reads. I couldn't do 1 minute man. I was like, blah, 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 blah,
I just blah, can't. Blah. I'm like looking around the room, like hoping to see a color.
You know what this is? This is like right now the Mets were getting hot, and I was like, oh, the All-Star break's gonna like stop their momentum. That's what happened.
Yeah,
we had a lot of momentum, and it all was stopped by our All-Star break, our mid-year break. This motherfucker can't think of colors.
I'm gonna go with
Nick is literally bringing up colors on Google for him.
Okay, this is good. Now we have a new issue. That purple isn't purple. That's purple's blue.
That is the same exact color as the blue.
Okay. So here it is. I am going to see. I was gonna say shit green, but I do that sometimes too. So
it's incredible. Anybody has sex with you? Or me.
Okay. All right. Fuck it. Here it is, baby. Right off the rip, we're just going to go. I want to bleed green. I want to pee purple. I want to poop white.
White poop? Like little cotton balls.
Yeah, I feel like...
You know what I'm switching my answer? I want to bleed black. Imagine that. Like, just like a pitch, like midnight black. I feel like I'd be like Venom, like a monster or something.
I think blood does kind of get that dark if you bleed enough.
Yeah, you're probably right. That's like when you're dead.
Yeah.
Like when you get like a gunshot to the belly.
Yeah, that knife I threatened to slit Casey's throat with. If you let me get at you with that thing.
You're bleeding black.
You'll bleed some black, yeah.
Do you ever have black gum?
Black gum.
It's like licorice flavor. But
no.
It's so gross.
Chew gum.
What?
I don't really chew gum.
Anti-gum guy, huh?
Yeah, I don't understand it.
Well, that's a stupid thing. If you told me you didn't like it, but what don't you understand?
Well,
about
I just—I think I like to save my sugar intake for things I'm. Oh,
that's
eating.
Fair. I used to. I
do have fucked up stuff in my mouth. That
yeah,
I,
you like, have enough mouth like habits.
Yeah. Which, by the way, 10 days.
10 days. No, nothing.
No dip.
Not even black buffalo.
No, nothing.
Wow.
No cold turkey.
Congratulations, not putting fucking dirt in your mouth, man. Proud of you.
I'm gonna do it again.
I was gonna say.
I'm not saying I'm quitting.
The reason he said 10 days is because that's it. Yeah. He reached his goal, and that's all there is to it, folks. I used to think there was a time where I didn't chew gum because I felt like I was tricking my stomach. I feel like I was getting hungrier because my stomach thought I was gonna get food. It's like my stomach was like, all right, the chewing's happening. Where's the food? And it never came.
I can see that.
Yeah, I feel like it's like cock teasing your stomach,
you're giving your blue
balls,
blue balls in your stomach.
Blue balls, not real,
not real,
not a real,
not
thing.
A real thing. That always gets people fired up. Blue
big
balls.
Time.
As someone who has had erections that did
as
not,
as someone
finish,
with balls, I can tell you,
I've never been in any pain in my testicle
now,
area.
Now,
because of that.
Now the blue balls truthers will come at you and tell you that there is such a thing as blue balls. I do believe there is a medical thing that can happen where, like, if you are right on the precipice of releasing and you don't, that something can happen with your prostate and wherever the cum comes from, the semen's over here, the cum's over here, I don't know, wherever. And there can be something where it's, like, filled up or backfiring or whatever. That there is some medical truth to it. What you're telling the girl who won't blow you is blue balls, that's not real. When you tell a girl, like, oh, you got to finish me, it's like, no, you just want to get your rocks off. That's not blue balls. But there's always occasionally a person who's like, no, it's true, man. Like, I was in, like, a car accident, and, like, something hit my balls. And that's like, yeah, okay, there are medical things that can happen with your cum. But
a car accident?
No, I'm just saying that there's, like, you
I was
physical...
jerking off behind the wheel one day. Suburban, ran a red light, and fucking smoked me.
Could happen.
Yeah, no, it could happen.
You ever jerk off in the car?
I've jerked off once in the car.
Driving?
Yeah.
While driving?
While driving.
Yeah, yep. I jerked off in traffic once.
I didn't do it in traffic. I did it on the open road.
Yeah, well, that's much safer because, I mean, I'm pretty sure people could see me. Yeah. What you need to do is if you ever are going to jerk off in the car, you need to jerk off with equal height alongside you. Like if you're in a sedan and two sedans are next to you.
You don't really have much control over that.
I know. Yeah. That's the problem. So, I'm like, all right, I'm good. I'm in the left lane. I'm on the BQE. Oh, I was on the Belt Parkway. And so to my right is like a car that's, the same height as me. So I can just kind of sit there. And as long as I don't do too much shoulder, you can't tell anything's going on. But then all of a sudden.
You were doing it there? Yeah, see, I can tell there now.
But think about if I was in a car. I'll try that. Think about it. But right now you're looking for it. But if I'm in a car, so stupid. But then the problem. So I'm next to, let's say, a fucking, a Toyota Camry, right? And I'm like this, and it's like, they're not paying attention. All of a sudden, the flow of traffic.
You hear that on the bottom of the table.
Now all of a sudden, the flow of traffic changes, though, and I'm next to some fucking guy who's got like a truck kit on. He's raised. Yeah. He can see right down into my window. I'm like, I'm sorry, man. Too much traffic. I can't believe I was at. I was one point so goddamn horny. I just couldn't wait to get off.
Bro. I can believe it.
I mean, yes, I can, but that's pathetic. We are pathetic beasts who are completely dictated by how much comes in our body.
Times I've been on like a subway and been like, boy, there was a bathroom in here. I had to fire one off.
I feel like if you could have something on your body. Let's do an ad read real quick.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation. and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
If you could have something on your body, or if you could have one gas tank, if you will, for something in your body that you could, like, see, what would it be?
If I could have a gas, I mean...
And the reason I say that is because I was thinking, like, and you don't really need, you know when you're hungry, you know when you're this, you know when you're that, but to see it and know it, you know? It's like, when, like my favorite thing about cars these days, having grown up, like, being old enough to know how, like, old cars were, like, just having a fucking little stick tell you how much gas is left, now it's like, you have this many miles before you're fucking out, you know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, all right, now I know, you know, when you're on E, you really do have a long fucking time to go. So having, like, the actual numbers and display is important. If I could have a little meter that lets you know, like, bro, you got to get some cum out of your body. You're about to make some bad decisions. You're not thinking with a clear head. Your cum meter is way too high.
Too full.
I would maybe do that.
Dude,
I would maybe do that.
I think that's probably the smartest one to have.
Well, my two would be either the cum, which is almost like a reverse NBA Jam turbo. You know, you want your turbo to be full. You want your cum tank to be empty. You know, but that or hydration.
Hydration. You know that one too, right?
Well, you know all these things, yeah. Unless you're a fucking moron. But
well, I
you know
the cum one. I don't know how much cum I have in there.
No, but you know when you need to get one out.
I don't like that phrase.
Yeah.
That's like Dana Pierce saying he was the king of blowjobs.
Yeah, yeah.
I know how much cum I got in me.
No, I don't know. It's even worse.
That is unbelievable out of context. It's like you've just
I have
been
no idea how much cum is
all
in me.
Week. None of us do. None of us do. It's a funny statement, but it applies to all of us. Right now, you have no idea how much cum is in your body.
It is.
God, it's crazy that chicks have to get cum in them. That's nuts. It's just the fact that girls have to get dick and get cum is gross. Like, the fact that you guys just got a hole that gets filled up is really unappealing. Like, think about, you know, that feeling of, like, I mean, I don't know. I guess, like, you know, when I clean my ears, I actually like it. Maybe I'd like getting fucked. I don't know. But for the most part, I feel like getting stuff stuck in a hole.
That's quite a leap. I like a Q-tip. Maybe I'll like a cock in my ass.
You're trying to get your girl to do anal. That's a good first step, guys. What, you know that feeling we get the Q-tip in, right? It's just like we do some anal. But the fact, you know, I feel like penetration in general is like a...
It's a violent thing.
Yeah. I can't believe you guys like that. Just fill up your holes. Yikes. And then afterwards, when you got to do it, the waddle. Like, I like when they go like.
Can't sneeze.
Like they hold their breath. Like as if it's going to suck it up into your pussy deeper. Like, that does nothing, girls. Anyway, what's your meter?
Boy. That is.
You could do hunger. You could have your what if you had your BAC right on like your little meter on your wrist? You could be like, yeah, I could do another shot.
That's a good answer.
No. You know why that's a bad answer? Because you will get fucked up because you want to run it up.
You want to try.
You want score. Yeah, yeah. You'll be like, oh, pussy. Like
we had that in
when you like, just had the gun, right?
With the breathalyzer. Yeah, and it was like one dangerous. Weekend, and it was like, you know what? Maybe this isn't a great idea.
that's you know that's so dangerous. You guys were young and dumb and stupid enough to do it. But even though you're that dumb, you still knew it was a bad idea.
Yeah.
That's how bad of an idea it was. Because even the morons in college knew, oh, someone's going to the hospital if we keep this up.
It was like, we did like one weekend. I'm like, guys, never again.
All right, so this is my final answer then, because that led me to, now that I'm much more on 3-Chi Delta 8 than drinking, I want to know like that. Not whatever your BAC for like weed is, because then like you take an edible, you'll never have that like, should I take another half ever again? Yeah, you know, yeah. You could be like, oh, okay, it's just not there yet. You know what I mean? Right, I need like a tank and a timer. If I could take an edible and I'll be like, you have 47 minutes till this kicks in. I'd be like, okay, now we're good.
I was going to say, watching that, though, that would give me the weed anxiety where it's like, you're like, wait, is it slowing down? Is it slowing down? No.
You like, know what that would be like? That would be like when you use Google Maps or Waze in New York City. You can't do that. You know, it's like 17 minutes, and then all of a sudden it's like 35 because it's just going up. So you'd be like, all right, like 10 minutes until my weed kicks in, and then it's like all of a sudden, tick, 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 tick. Or Uber when it's like 8 minutes away, and all of a sudden it's 3 minutes, then it's 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. That would be all over the map. But if I could know when I'm about to be high, and that final countdown, like 3, 2, 1. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I had a buddy this weekend go take an edible and be like, all right, I'm going to try and make it to Target before Target back before it kicks in.
Yeah.
and he went with his girl. And then he comes back in just with a big smile on his face, goes, didn't make it. And then pull over and you like switch who was driving.
we on senior year, we used to cut out of school. Not cut out of school, we would just take our lunch break, and rather than go eat food, we would just go get drunk. And we would like, so my one buddy, he was always like the guy who drove us, and we would drive to like our friend's house, and he would like, he wouldn't drink. We would all kind of get fucked up for like an hour. And then he would, like, slam, like, a cup of vodka and be like, let's go. Like, quick. We'll get back to school in a couple minutes. I won't, you know, it won't hit me until then. Like, boy, we were too young to be doing shit like that. Yeah. Like, 18 years old. He was like,
Just gutting a full knee of vodka.
Okay, let's drive. okay, let's get into some topics. Let's talk about some things. And then I got two personal stories. But, I feel like you went like totally off the grid.
I was completely.
Did you watch anything? Did you see like any of the soccer, McGregor, any of that shit?
Yeah, I watched most of the soccer. Okay. I watched most of the soccer, watched McGregor.
But you just stayed off the internet.
Yeah, I was deep off the grid. It was awesome. I wasn't even bringing my phone out most days.
It was a beautiful thing.
It was really, really great. It does, like, there are things you miss. I basically don't know anything that happened. Like, the main events I watched, but like, I don't know anything that happened on the
reaction.
Internet.
I'm
my dad.
Yeah,
like I don't know any little internet stories. I don't know, but like, yes, I watch the main events and the fight, things like that.
Yeah,
but it does backfire sometimes though. Like I all day I was like dreading doing therapy on Friday, and then I went there and I sat in on it, and she just didn't show. And she had sent an
texted
email.
You. I can't
she
make
an email,
it.
Like, I'm not gonna be here.
Oh, by the way, I'm done with email.
Yeah,
I don't do email anymore.
I don't really do much email
now that I'm not like when we used to blog. Gmail, GChat was like my favorite thing, my favorite of all my technological like platforms. Now that I just don't do email. You need me? Put it this way: if you don't like have my number to text me, I don't care about your business. Whatever it is you're trying to, you know, we're not close enough. You know, so get closer to me, then you can text me, and then we'll do whatever it is you're bothering me about.
Just forward them to me. Forward them to me.
Just email Nick if you want to talk to me. Email Nick,
bro. I'm out on emails. I'm out on texting.
Here's my problem. I need to break everyone in my life, and it's my own fault because you've seen me. I text like too much and I reply too much. But like the other day, what was I doing? I just put my phone down for like an hour. I came back to 24 text messages.
Oh, that's insane!
In an hour, and it wasn't. There was like one group chat that probably was firing off a bunch, but for the most part, it was like 10 or 12 like conversation, like different texts. And I was like, "What the fuck is this, man? Leave me alone!" But I've enabled it by replying to people. I need to break them, and not reply. It's like I need to do to like my friends and family what I feel like you should do to girls or anybody in a relationship. Like, you know, in the beginning when you like somebody, you text them all the time, and and you probably shouldn't, because inevitably when you're out of the honeymoon phase, now you've set a standard. You know what I mean? Now it's like I got to do like good morning and good night texts with you after like how many years are we together? You know what I mean? So you almost should proactively be like, I do want to text you, but I'm not going to for the sake of the long haul. That's what I need to do with my friends and family right now. I'm just going to not reply to you, and it's nothing personal. It's just to break you from texting me.
I think you should do that. I strongly suggest it.
Think about the world back in the day, man, where it's just like, you know, you're dating someone. It's like you go on a date or you see them or whatever, and then for whatever reason, you know, you're living in separate apartments. Like, all right, see ya. And that's it. You go home, and then, I don't know, you call their landline like a couple days later when you want to hang out. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And now
this is what I've been advocating for. You wouldn't allow me to do it.
No.
Now you've kind of broken.
No. Well, I still believe that the best communication can be texting, but if it could be within the frequency of like old school life,
phone call.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm down with that too. That's fine. If you want to send me one text a week, It's okay.
The amount though of like, you know, when people are like, well, you know, gotta have your cell phone like for like emergency purposes. It's like, well, what there were emergencies before cell phones, and people would just be like, I don't know, find a payphone or something. Or they used to just shout. I love that in movies. Somebody call a doctor, and somebody would fucking call a doctor. I guess I don't know, but yeah, I need to break that down anyway. So the reason I asked was to know if you watch McGregor. I think I'm out on Conor McGregor.
How come?
I don't like him anymore.
Why?
I thought that was a terrible showing, start to finish, the whole process for McGregor this fight. I thought his shit talk was bad and like not clever or witty and repetitive. And then obviously you break your bone and you don't perform well in the fight. And then afterwards, the thing that I don't think you did see. So when Rogan was interviewing Poirier after the fight and McGregor sitting down, like basically waiting his turn, which I thought we were going to get an all-time moment. Mm-hmm. I was like, this dude is not getting carted off right now because he's waiting to like get his turn. And I was like, he's about to cut like a promo from his ass with a broken leg. That's going to be incredible. And we'll talk about that in a second. But while Rogan's talking, there's a new camera angle from someone who was either sitting ringside or ran up on it. Like they're right on the fence on the octagon. And he's yelling at Poirier and his wife, saying he's going to kill them in their sleep. Which is – and it is funny.
But and you're out on this, man?
Yeah, well, that is what's funny. So when I see it happen, I'm like – and Poirier all week was – not all week, but at the very end was like, I'm all for the shit talk, but when you tell me that I'm leaving in a coffin and I'm never going to see my family again, like that just seems like some sort of unspoken rule that UFC guys don't do to each other. So I understood like his point of view being like, that's trash. And then I'm thinking about it from a trash talk point of view, like, you're gonna kill him and his wife in his sleep. But then when I say it out loud, like when we did it on the rundown, I was like, yeah, this is pretty ridiculous. This is so preposterous that it's almost funny to be like, but in terms of trash talk,
like, also like picture like he's gonna have to use crutches for this murder.
He's gonna hobble in, and the whole time he's pointing a gun to his head. So he's being like, this is not over. You and your wife, you're gonna get it in your sleep. I'm gonna get you and your wife in your sleep. And then so the thought of him like, and then bow, bow. I mean, it is ridiculous.
Bro, if you gotta use crutches to do a murder. That's a funny murder.
I will say, I'll leave it undecided. If he actually murders them, then it's cool. Then it's funny if he actually pulls off the murder. But I like part of the problem here is I like Poirier.
Yeah, I like Poirier too.
So like usually I'm fully Conor. I didn't like Khabib. I don't like his opponents, so I'm like all in on it. But I like Poirier, and I thought he handled himself like perfect. Like when McGregor was calling his wife the husband of the marriage, and he was just like, yeah, I love my husband. It's literally right out of Cinderella Man. At one point, Max Baer says to Russell Crowe, like, oh, your wife does all your fighting for you. And because she threw a drink in his face,
yeah.
And he just goes, yeah, ain't she something? And it was like, you know, just totally disarms you, and you look like the cool guy. So he does that. I mean, how many times is Conor going to talk about her in the DMs?
I don't know.
And
that
it's
is,
like,
that is weird.
And it's like, we all know that she was probably either talking shit or like whatever. Whatever it was not sexual. It was not like, I want to fuck you. I want to suck your dick. And he just kept saying it. And then I thought the like the interview from like with a broken leg, it just wasn't. I mean, and I don't blame him. I wouldn't be able to do it either. But I what I like best about Conor is he's usually funny and witty and clever and like swaggy. And I think that's only when he's winning. I think when he's and I don't blame him for that either. Yeah. But part of me thinks like it's I don't know if that's ever gonna be that
way
again.
Yeah, it's probably. I mean, he's older too, right? He's
and,
like 34 now.
And the difference is like you can't be when you make $180 million a year. You can't be that dude anymore. No matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you try to put your mental self back in that spot when you were on the come up, you can't do it.
Yeah.
Because it's just like human. If you have a bad day, you just go, ah, fuck it. I'm going back to my wife on the yacht. As opposed to like, I got it. Like, I'm on welfare. So I need to, you know. So I don't blame him for it. But I just think like it's over for him being like that dude. I'll always buy his fights. And maybe he'll have some big moments. He'll probably fight Poirier for the fourth time. Bob Fox was telling me like the Nate Diaz thing will always be there, and like those are two big names that'll always like get juice. But I don't think he's ever gonna be like the champ again or anything.
No,
like, contend
I don't think so. I think he's.
Bob says he's always one fight away from a title shot because like anybody will give it to him for the theatrics of it all. Mm-hmm. But I think when you actually are when you earn it more than just being I don't know. I just don't think he's got that from a casual point of view, of course, because I'm not a real MMA fan. But, like, watching that whole pay-per-view, like, I'd rather watch Homeboy doing the shoey and coming out to Spice Girls. Did you see the rest of the pay-per-view or just the McGregor fight?
Just the McGregor fight.
Dude, this guy. How do you say his name? Tuivasa?
Not sure.
Taya Tuivasa. I'm butchering his name, and I should know it by now. He's an Australian dude. He's a heavyweight. He's fat. Got, like, blubber. Uh-huh. And comes out to If You Want to Be My Lover, Want to Be by Spice Girls. And his thing is every time when he wins, he does a shooey. So he popped up on top of the octagon, pours the fucking beer, chugs it. I mean, the place was going wild. I swear. I mean, and you see that gut leg hanging?
Is it his shoe?
I think it was like his team gave it to him, right? But then on the way back to the
wait, does he do that? Is that pre-fight or post?
No, that was post.
Post, right?
So okay. That was after he won, and he beat Greg Hardy. Okay. So
okay.
Everybody, like literally the whole world wanted him to win. He one punches Greg Hardy and like knocked his eye out. Does this fucking dance. He's Australian. He's got the accent. Does the shooey. And then on the way back into like the locker room, people are just giving him other people giving him the shoes. Like he's chugging on random people's shoes. One guy was like probably like 10, 15 feet above him just pouring a beer. And he's like, he's filling up. I mean, he is going to be a fucking superstar. There was this other kid who filled in fighting Sugar Sean O'Malley on like 10 days notice. He took like 260 significant strikes. It was like the most ever in UFC. He had 85% like accuracy. He just destroyed this guy's face, and he just wouldn't go down. It was unbelievable. I'm like the biggest fan of this guy ever. Sugar was like running up the score. He's literally pretending to play basketball and dribble and shoot. He's doing spinning kicks because he thought he was gonna like end him in the first round, and this guy just like kept on coming. It was fucking real life Rocky in the MMA.
Did he win?
No. It got stopped. So that was the big thing. It was 4.9 rounds. Like there was 30 seconds left, and the ref stopped it, and everybody was like, "Let him go the distance." And like, no, his brain's about to be detached. Like Sugar said, like he was like, "I'm happy he stopped it because I was about to take 20 years off his life if he kept it up." But so like front to back, the whole pay-per-view was awesome, and like Conor was not like was not the reason. That's the first time ever for me that I was like the rest of these guys actually interest me more in that. But much the way Bob says, he's one match away from a title fight. He's probably like one good showing on the mic away from me loving him again.
Yeah.
Because he's just when he is on, he's the fucking funniest in the game. But this was funny too. Watch this. Look at that!
Jesus Christ!
And that was to end the like. Then it was like ding ding ding. But that was like when you're fighting with your brother, you know? It's like, it was a good old fashioned violent time. But yeah. So you're still.
I'm probably perhaps more casual fan than you. So I will buy every McGregor fight.
Yeah.
This one, 4th of July week was just like hard. Like I didn't even follow any of the lead up. I saw Bob Fox's question obviously, but like I didn't follow the press conference.
Yeah,
I didn't really care about that.
Right.
I was like I'm at the beach.
But
I'm
even that, I feel like, you know, cuz there wasn't much. You know, usually there's a couple like big moments that are funny or memorable or whatever that do go viral, and I didn't think there was really anything other than you're in my DMs, you know. But yeah, I mean, at this point, it's like Jake Paul's probably a step closer to getting his fight.
Oh my goodness gracious!
Imagine, imagine that.
That would be absurd.
Here's my question.
It wouldn't surprise me anymore.
No, I mean, especially if that injury is like real bad, and like I think it's not. I think it's just a bone break, so it's gonna be like 6 weeks. But if he's like old and injured and all that, and then you can get like more money to do a silly exhibition.
It's so fucked up.
The way he broke it.
Yeah.
And Poirier's trying to like, you know, kind of take credit for it, being like I started that, and then like he finished it, which is probably true to some extent. But that's a
that's like your dad, like I loosened it.
Yes.
I loosened it.
I did all the work. Yeah. You didn't open that pickle jar, I did. So here's my question then. If you were Poirier, would you fight McGregor for a fourth time?
Yeah.
Yeah?
For sure.
I think it's the paydays
like,
is so much bigger with
Dustin McGregor. Poirier can't fight anyone else and get. I mean, I'm not saying this from a fighting standpoint, but like, so I can confidently say it, that I would not get another Dustin Poirier fight. Dustin Poirier is fighting someone, I probably wouldn't buy
right. And they get shares of like the total number of pay per views, so it matters like, who you're fighting. Yeah. So I mean, I just think that like
You think why? You think he wants to go out on top?
Well, if Poirier like goes on to like win a belt and he's like the champ and shit, I think the best way, and especially now that there's true bad blood between McGregor and him, and you're talking shit about my wife and my family and all that, the best way to piss off Conor McGregor is to be like, "Oh, you're an afterthought. You're in my rear view, man. Like I'm beyond you. Like telling Conor McGregor you're not like the you're not the bread anymore. Like yeah, I'm on to bigger and better things." Will,
but you are not.
Well, if he wins the title, yeah. You know, like if he is that dude, and of course, yes, to the casual fan, no, but like in his world, it's like I'm the champ. I beat you, fucking, you know, I want to beat you for third time. That's the only reason why I would do it is because he's just gonna keep beating him,
yeah.
And he's gonna make more money, and he's gonna go down in history as the guy who's like, I beat Conor McGregor like four times.
Yeah, I ended McGregor.
Yeah, like I just keep beating him. But yeah, I mean that dude, I'm a big Poirier fan now. I like that guy a lot. I feel like if he wasn't fighting McGregor, he would be like a bigger star, because it's just like so many people were on Conor's side,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's not much to hate about him.
He is very cool. Okay, yeah. I like Poirier.
Good looking guy too. He didn't have the mangled ears. I feel like he'd be. But maybe, you know what? I bet you. Where'd she go? I actually want to ask her something now. I wonder. Do you think that fighter's ears, cauliflower ears, is like a turn on to some girls?
I would definitely. Yeah. It's like a trickster scar.
Yeah. But also, like, those are pretty fucking gross.
They're pretty
good. Well, it depends. Like, I mean, he's a good looking guy on top of it. Yeah. If you're just gross and your ears are mangled, I don't know about it. But I feel like, you know, you got like a crooked, biz nasty nose, you got the cauliflower ears, and you're good looking otherwise, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, that guy Fox.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Then here's a hypothetical. I'm just full of hypotheticals today. If I could, like, guarantee you somehow, snap my fingers, that every girl you come across would find your cauliflower ears attractive, would you take them? You don't have to get them. If I just snap your fingers and you're gonna have fat filled in ears. But it's gonna become a Jackie. Yeah. Do you think that cauliflower ears, you know, when like wrestlers,
yeah.
Do you think that's hot? Like, let's say, like, have you seen Dustin Poirier, the guy McGregor fought? He's like a good looking guy otherwise.
No, but so
like, is that something you find, you'd be like, that's hot, like that dude, like, you know?
I think it's hot if they fight, but I don't think it's, I like the cauliflower ear part's kind of gross, but it is like hot if like,
so, but that's what I mean, you know? Though, like in the moment, do you think that, yeah, sure, like he's a good looking guy, but his ears are kind of like sticking out.
Oh yeah, he is. No, it's kind of gross.
Then my answer is no.
Do you think that most girls would say, no, that's just gross? Like, is it on the same level as like chicks dig scars?
Yeah.
Like, if he had a crooked nose from getting it broken every time, and his ears are all filled in because he's like a UFC champion, are you like?
But it's different if you're a UFC champion.
So you got to be a winner. If you're just a bum who just gets his head beaten, you're good looking no matter what. So like,
okay,
so that's a fact.
You're good looking.
So then there could be good looking and you're a loser. Good looking and you're a winner, but either way, you're good looking. But you have the cauliflower.
I think you have to be like a UFC.
You gotta be.
I think you kind of gotta be a winner. It's not like gross. It wouldn't be like a.
So I asked John if I could snap my fingers and make all girls think that his cauliflower ears are hot for some reason. Like they just look at it and go like, oh man, that guy's like rough and tough.
Yeah.
Would you take it?
I guess so. Like if you're giving me something that like all women find attractive.
Yeah. But like, but the reason I don't think I would take it.
Why?
I think it's gross. I also feel like it's weird.
I've never felt them, so I don't really know.
Well, first of all, can you like hear? Right? Like, doesn't it fill in at
KP
some point?
KP has it, and he said one time like the like earphones fall out of his ear. Like, I think
that's what,
like,
I mean. I bet you there's more things that you don't realize that's weird about it.
Yeah, I didn't think about the
and now that you bring that up, like that sucks. KB is just a fucking like comedy writer now with fucking mangled filled in ears
and can't wear headphones.
Right, like he probably has to wear, you know, the over the ear ones. Yeah. That sucks.
That's a tough one.
That's like being, would you rather have mangled ears and no longer be in the fight game, or be like tall one who was like 6'10" but never played basketball? Both of those things are pretty inconvenient in regular life. Outside the octagon or outside the hardwood, you just are a freak, bro.
But you, like, if you were a college wrestler or whatever, like at least you can handle yourself still. Like,
yeah, that's true.
To figure out how to walk.
Right, he's like a giraffe on ice.
Yeah.
KB can still put you in a fucking guillotine right now and choke me out. Yeah. All right. So I had two incidents.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous. Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
A homeless guy punched me in the back.
What?
Yeah. Homeless fella punched me in the back.
When?
Over the weekend. I'm walking back.
Bro, what did you do to the homeless community?
I don't know, man.
Like,
I don't know. They don't like me. So I'm walking on 8th Avenue. I was coming back from McDonald's. I had food, my drink. I'm with people. So we're all, you know, we're all got our hands full. It was kind of crowded. And I was at, like, I'm crossing. These people are coming up. So it was just like a crowded corner. And but not like that bad. But it was kind of like, you know, excuse me, you move this way, I move that way. And then there's this homeless dude. And homeless might be tough. You know, he's not one of those guys like covered in soot. But he's definitely, he's more like mentally ill than anything.
Yeah.
And I could see that like coming up. So he was standing and I kind of walked by him. And we like kind of were in each other's way. But it wasn't like we didn't bump. We didn't make contact. It was just kind of like I, you know, turned this way and went around him. And he just like kind of whipped around and pow, and just like put a knuckle like in my back, like right at my vertebrae. And it was like I'm holding all this shit. I got two drinks in my hand. I got a McDonald's bag on my wrist, and I'm with people. And I was just like ah, and I was like, the fuck, man. And he was just like mumbling and like growling under his breath, like clearly like on another fucking planet, probably one of these like heroin addicts who are always around the corner from us. But I was like, what? I just got punched in the back.
Did any?
I just got
like
a knuckle
to
the vertebrae.
Did any part of you ever consider fighting him?
Not really. No.
I probably wouldn't either.
And that, like, well, I at first I had a moment of like, come on, you pussy. Like, you can't just let people punch you in the back and not do anything about it. But then I was also like, realistically, what's going to happen here? Like, what I should have done was thrown a drink at him. I should have dunked a fucking and a large Sprite. I should have dunked that.
Yeah,
on
but
his
then
head.
You're but then you're in a fight.
But then I'm in a fight.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like
he's
I'm
not just walking away after that.
No, and I'm fighting like a probable like meth head.
Yeah,
you know, who can feel no pain, any pain that fucking broken me could even inflict.
And
I don't know. A part
and
of
you're
me is
on
thinking,
the corner of 8th Avenue, which is like. I think you either end up dead or in jail for manslaughter.
Absolutely.
Someone's going to get hit by a car.
For sure. And like, and I was thinking as you know, out of shape and not tough as I am, he was so out of it that I was like, I don't know. I could probably like just walk up to this guy and like elbow him in the face right now, you know? But then what? You know, and then he's going to just be like, I'm going to get fucking blood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was just like, and part of me was like, you're a pussy. But then part of me was like, that was a mature thing to do, man. And I don't know, you know, mature doesn't fucking get you the prom queen. You know what I mean? But it was just like, it's one of those things where it's like, well, fuck you, man. Because now, I'm trying to think of there was something happened recently where I was kind of like, you know, it's very rare that someone takes it to that point where you can pretty much talk shit and bank on the fact that nobody's really going to take it to a physical point. You know what I mean? That's where I think a lot of like assholes get away with it, where they're like, you know, when people are like, one day someone's going to fucking knock you out. It's like, probably not. Because just, you know, 99% of the world, 99.999% of the world goes through life not getting in any physical altercations. So no, I probably won't get knocked out. But this guy was like, I'm going to cross the line and punch him in the back. And I was like, well, you're just going to get to do that to me then. Because I'm not going to fucking fight a homeless guy when I'm with people, I got food in my hands, and I'm going to, even if I win the fight, I'm getting scraped up and beat up.
Yeah, but
we're both going to jail.
You might win that fight and end up losing it. You get whatever disease he has.
That's what I mean. I don't want to touch him. I don't want blood. I don't want bum blood. If I can cut him, I don't want his bum blood on
me. Yeah, you don't want that.
And then there's cops right there. So it's like, even if I win the fight, or if I lose the fight, or if I'm justified, we're doing paperwork, we're going out of the station. It's a whole fucking thing. So long story short, if you're a bum and you want to punch me, you can probably get away with it. You can probably get away with it. I mean, if you punch me in the face, we're fighting. But this, it was just like a knuckle to the vertebrae that made me go like, ah! And it didn't feel good, and I would prefer it to never happen again, but it also wasn't enough for me to be like, all right, well, you know, as a man, I need to, like, do something about this.
Yeah,
I'm just
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Well, that sucks that happened.
Did anyone you were with call you a pussy?
No. It went, like, unnoticed. Like, so I kind of was like, the fuck? And then we keep walking, and I was shaking my head, and, like, nobody knew. And I was like, that guy just punched me in the back. And they were like, what? And I was like, that dude right there, you just punched me in the back. And they were like, are you okay? Do you need to, like, stop? I was like, no, I'm fine. I just want people to know I just got punched in the back. Because it was so, like, I mean, first of all, this city, man, it was like, I was obviously, you know, I didn't come into the city basically at all break. And I come back in, and I like had to step over what probably was a dead body. You know, at what point do you go, like, I always assume they're sleeping, but they're probably dead sometimes.
Oh, dude.
You know?
They're definitely dead. Dude, I did it
more often than not.
Going to my apartment where I had to, like, boost step myself over him. Up to get over him.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is
so
ridiculous.
So that happens. Then I see this dude, white guy, young, like, long hair, you know, would fit in, like, here. He definitely went out for a jog because he had, like, athletic clothes on, had, like, Beats headphones on, was sweating like a motherfucker, and was waiting at the corner for the light to change, but was, like, totally fucked up. Was, like, wobbling and in the bike lane, so these bikes are, like, zipping past him, and he's like, and I was like, you need to end your jog, dude. So I see I step over the dead body. There's this drunk, sweaty guy. The homeless guy punches me in the back. It was like, it smelled like shit and piss. And I was just like, I can't be here anymore. God damn it. But it was really the bum punch got me.
The rest
of it I can deal with. But the bum punch really put it over the top. But
the random assault in the street. That was one that.
Yeah, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. But what do you think it would take for you to would you have done something to me?
Nah,
you can
not.
Handle yourself better than me. So if I were you, I might have like caused maybe I would have done something. But what
I think because the same thing with you work. I just don't think that's a big enough deal. Where,
yeah,
like it's not worth the paperwork or
yeah.
Anyway. Was like
because like really
oh, you give me a little punch in the back. Whatever. I don't
yeah,
care.
Which sucks.
Yeah,
that you know you have to just you know if you the smart like. Mature thing to do is let that slide, but it sucks.
Especially if it's someone who's the mentally ill person you're describing. Was like, I'm like, well, I don't know what's in their fucking pockets.
I mean, yeah, that guy
like,
can stab me. Yeah, I can pull out a razor blade from under his tongue and kill me.
Could be a fucking, could have a needle.
Could like, have a like, bunch of buddies. Like, gonna, yeah, it could
get,
be an accident.
I get,
and all
I
of a sudden
get AIDS
I,
out of fucking.
Imagine that.
Or I get a heroin addiction because I accidentally get stabbed.
Imagine that you're in a scrap and all of a sudden you're like, whoa. this is the best fight I've ever been in, man. What do you think it would take for you to start a fight on the street corner at this age?
It would take them starting the fight.
Like, but like
anything
but,
else.
Like, but all right, that dude threw a first punch, so a little rabbit punch to the
no,
back.
It
now
would be like a continued. I honestly think I probably would not fight a homeless person even if they
punch you
in
the
face.
Right.
I don't think
I would either. I was trying to figure out what would it take for me to have been like, I'm gonna roll around on the street with this fucking guy because I feel like I have to. You know, it's like
if he started the fight and pursued the fight. Like,
yeah,
kept,
like kept coming after
pushing
me.
Me
yeah, so it would have to be like true self-defense.
Yeah.
Is there anything where it could have been like one shot and you can just keep walking away? Like if he caught you in the face, you got a bloody nose, but you're walking away and he's just content to leave it. Like I just punched that guy one time. Would you just keep walking?
I'd probably keep walking.
I know. I know. And part of me felt like a fucking pussy for it, but part of me is like realistically – what do I get out of if I could beat up this meth head? If I could whip his ass, then what? I don't know. I get a story for my podcast. Guess what? I got a story for the podcast anyway. I'm not the toughest guy, but I got material for the workday. I'm good. So, like, I mean, when you were younger, do you think you would fight back?
I think a homeless person, I would probably always just be like,
walk away.
Like, this is
isn't
really
that funny? That,
it's like
that,
if we're in a bar, that's
yeah,
different. Like,
if one of my peers punched me in the back, if you were at a bar and just like a fucking Murray Hill bro. You were in a crowded bar, and he was just like, dude, fuck you, pow, and just punch you in the back.
I'd probably fight that guy.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? Yeah. Same amount
I mean,
of shit to
like,
lose,
just...
though. Like, you know, same amount of, like, shit's going to happen to you where it's like, I don't know, like, both could get arrested, both could break bones
or
something.
Okay. I'm okay with those two things. I'm not okay with, like, someone having
shit.
A knife or
yeah,
fucking, like,
yeah,
again,
yeah.
Like, I don't want them to, like, spit on me. Like,
yeah.
It's a homeless person. It's right. A person who sleeps outside every single night. I don't want to have
it's
a
really
violent
about the,
interaction with them.
It's really about the disgustingness
yeah.
of it all. Yeah. Which led me to my second thing. The duality of man. I'm either on the street getting McDonald's, getting punched by bums, or I'm watching my children. And I'm at the park. One of my least favorite things as a dad is being at the park with other kids. I also, I like play with my kids. Whenever I see the other dads, all other dads go, and maybe it's, you know, it depends on if you're a single dad or you're married, whatever, because it depends on how much time you probably have with your kids. But every dad I see at the park, they just sit on the bench and they're just buried on their phone while their kids like play. It's like your kid could be fucking dead and they wouldn't even know it. But I'm always like playing with them, like running around the fucking jungle gym thing myself. And so I hate the awkwardness with other kids, because it's like, I can't play with you. You're right. Not my kid, you know? But I also, Shay always likes to, she's always like, do you think that girl would play with me? I wanna like be friends. So I'm always like, hey, what's your name? This is my daughter, Shay. And I kind of like introduce them and I feel weird. Yeah. So this time a girl runs up to her and runs up to me and was like, hey, can I play? And I was like, this is great. Like, yes, go. So she introduces herself. Shay's like, oh, can I go? I'm like, yeah. She goes, come with me. I gotta show you something. And this is back at my mom's house in the Bronx, and they run off and they go like into like this little, it's like there's a park with like stone little cobble like path, but then you can like step over this little fence and you're in like probably like 4 feet of woodedness. There's like bushes and trees and shit. She just kind of goes into the bushes. And I was like, that's not the best. Like, I don't want you in the fucking bushes in the park in the Bronx, because again, fucking needles and bums and all that shit. And I hear them go like, oh my God, you got to see this. And they come out holding fucking mushrooms, like big fat toadstools in their hands. And I was like, that is the worst goddamn thing you could have come out of there.
Why?
With.
What are you talking about?
Like a fucking gross, bro, fungusy mushroom?
I thought they were going to come out with a dead animal.
Yeah, I think I would rather. Dude, you know what's on fucking mushrooms, dude?
What?
All that weird fungus and shit?
Dude, I play with mushrooms all the time. No. As a kid. Look at me, I'm fine.
I rest my case.
Bro, those huge mushrooms were fun as shit.
What did you do with them?
I just fucking broke them and stuff.
I would hit them with a bat.
Yeah,
I wouldn't touch them.
Oh, I touch them all the time.
Shay comes out like, look. I was like, put that down. And the other girl's mom was like, what are you? I get the impression that this girl does come out with like dead cats and shit. Because she was like, oh, fuck. She goes, we got to wash your hands again now. I don't
why?
Want. You know, mushroom fungus all over the place? That can't be good for you.
There's no way these are like highly poisonous mushrooms.
I'm not saying poisonous. I'm saying disgusting.
These are you?
This is how you get
those mushrooms up.
You get like skin tags all over you or some
no
shit.
No way.
You're
going
to walk
Jeez
away with some sort
Christ
of fucking skin
not
disease.
A, not a skin tag on me.
Hundreds
of mushrooms touched in this lifetime. Thousands, perhaps. Just
those mushrooms just creep me out. Those little, they just like sprout up and they're all fucking.
All fungusy.
Yeah.
Super fungusy.
And you want to touch that? You want that all over your skin?
I got no problem with it. I got no problem. I don't care for mushrooms. I don't want to eat them. But I like
you'll
to
play with
I
them.
Like to break them. Yeah.
You are a weird man.
I like to kick him. I like to punch him. I like to swing him. I'm a mushroom advocate. Me
pro mushroom. We are big mushroom.
Me and Jay could
here.
Have a good time hanging out together.
You know what? That she would have come out with a dead cat though. That girl was a couple years older than her. The importance of just like an older kid when you're a kid. That you know they can get you to do anything. I remember. You ever do the like where you try to make somebody pass out? Like just because a couple older guys wanted to do it, they were like, "All right, do this thing, man." They like take like 10 deep breaths and just cross your arms, and they just squeeze me. They pick me up and squeeze me.
I only ever did this.
So yeah, it's like you bend over, touch your toes, you're like, like deep, like hyperventilate type deep breaths, right? And then I just went like this, and they go behind you, and they just like squeeze you, so you're like, you can't breathe, I guess. And I just woke up on the pavement with a fucking knot on my head. I was like,
"What the hell?"
And they're just laughing at me.
My friends in high school used to do that because they couldn't get beer. They were like,
they couldn't
fucks,
get beer, so just like
it fucks you up a little bit. It's like, stop doing that. You're cutting off the circulation to your fucking brain.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were, because I was, you know, in like fourth grade. They were probably in like eighth grade or some shit. They were fat kids who could like crush me and lift me up, and I just had a big knot on my head. And they were like, awesome, right? I was like, not fucking really. That was the moment, I could pinpoint the moment I wasn't down for frats and hazing and any of that shit. I was like, fuck you guys. I'm never talking to you assholes again. Fucking make me pass out on the block for fun. Fuck you.
It also, they didn't let you down easy. They just let you
no, I guess not. I don't know. Because all I know is I just slumped over. They probably were like, I didn't think it was going to work. You know? That, and there was another time that I got tabletopped and I just landed on the concrete and just like smacked. I think I still got a scar somewhere from it. Blood was just pouring out of my elbow. And I was like, awesome prank, guys. We were at recess.
Oh,
it was like
was
in the middle of the school day. I was like, well, now I'm like pouring with blood.
I was a huge tabletopper.
On the concrete?
I'll tabletop you wherever.
Thin ice.
I'll tabletop
into
you
a
at
pit
your mom's
of fire.
House. I'll tabletop you at your fucking dad's house. I'll tabletop you during church. I'll if I'm around, someone's getting tabletop.
Tabletop. Do not tabletop me. I started a war.
I mean, you would die.
You'll break bones.
Yeah.
I started a war. If you go watch Answer the Internet, the very, very end of it, for a little Easter egg surprise, but I started a war. Just going with a cheap laugh for a YouTube end card that now I've got a bullseye on my back, and I highly regret it. But if retaliation comes in the form of a tabletop, I'm hitting you with a baseball bat. Just know that I'm going to come in and be like, what? And I'm going to smash you and be like, gotcha! That's my prank! Speaking of pranks, we do have to talk about the funniest show on television right now. I think you should leave. We'll do a little Barstool DVR.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
I Think You Should Leave season 2 is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
Were you not big on it in season 1?
I remember you telling me, like, I don't know how this happened because all I do in my life is watch TV. But I remember when that came out, it just, like, slipped through the cracks. Like, people were talking about Tim Robinson, and I was like, I don't know who that is. And then I think you started to show me a clip, and it must have been a skit with an old man.
Yeah.
And I thought he was the old man or something, and I was like, I don't know who this old guy is.
It's Ruben Rabassa.
Yeah. So yeah, I haven't seen season 1 really, so I don't know who that is. But I thought he was the old guy. Is it him dressed up, or is
no.
it just an old guy who's
just,
a part
just
of it?
Old man,
so
yeah.
I thought it was just like this old man comic. Was like, I don't know, that doesn't seem like it's for me. And now I realize it's just like, you know, Tim Robinson wrote for SNL for like years, and he got 2 skits aired the whole time.
That's insane.
And that just shows you how fucking stupid SNL is. You got Shane Gillis and Tim Robinson putting out the funniest sketches on the internet, and it's 2 guys that could have been at SNL that should be like head writers running if SNL was trotting that out every week, it'd be the funniest fucking show on television. If you had Shane doing the racist football coach and Tim doing Carl Havoc on a regular just Saturday night, you tuned into that? Holy shit, SNL would be incredible. Instead, they're firing these guys or never putting them on the air. Carl Havoc is one of the funniest things I've ever seen, period. Not fucking doing it. I'm telling you, I'm not. Taking the chin off. And then the pause is like,
the new band, there's a band in here.
And the guy going, okay, that works. That could be a bit.
Never mind, no.
I don't want to be here anymore. Yeah, that you don't want to live because the suit's too hot? Yes, I don't want to be here anymore. If you haven't seen I Think You Should Leave season 2. I think it's like 5 episodes. They're only like 15 to like 17 minutes each. You can rip through them. They're just skit after skit. It's the best skit show since like Chappelle Show, I think. It's one of those things like I was like, Carl Havoc's the funniest thing of the season. And then I'm like, Coffin Flop's pretty funny.
Coffin Flop is so goddamn.
And then
the first episode is front to back, 10 out of 10.
I don't know. I would love to talk to him. I tried. I'm putting out every fucking feeler I have of anybody. Do you know Tim Robinson? Do you know his agent? Can we get him on the show somehow?
We turned him down.
No.
Before season 1.
All right. Well, that makes me feel better.
Yeah,
at least.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So he didn't have anything, really?
It was like I really remember it being like,
oh, yeah, we thought it was Tim Robbins, right?
Yeah.
And
then I was like Andy Samberg was like producing the show, and we were like, oh, like, I don't know. We weren't doing many guests at the time either. Cause,
I mean,
this is years ago. I think it was probably 3. We were in the old office. I know that.
Well, so that's okay then, because then we wouldn't have even had I think You Should Leave to talk about. I don't even know what we're talking about. But, man, I would love to get him back on and ask him, like, what was the intention to be like, let's put our 3 or 4 best skits on episode 1 to just come out of the gates gangbusters? Or did they not even – like, maybe they didn't think that. Maybe they thought they spread them out nicely. But I think everybody agrees that, like, episode 1 is just like, boom, boom, boom.
The hot dog, when he's like,
I'm so tired.
Yeah, I'm the most tired I've ever been in my life.
I'm the most tired of like, everything. You can't skip lunch.
He goes, oh, fuck. Yeah.
The way he's just eating. Yeah. But that's where, I've said this before with sometimes when guests are really, really funny, I get depressed. And he, I wasn't a guest on the show, but just watching that show made me depressed because I was like, that is funny that I can never attain. Like, even if I stopped doing everything right now and tried to write, like, some stand-up material, I would never be good at it. But I could probably get on stage and do, like, a set or whatever. I could never come up with those ideas. Like, and why is it, you know, if I came in and I was like, guys, I got an idea for a skit. I'm going to eat a hot dog out of my sleeve because the boss skipped lunch. I think people would be like, shut the fuck up, man. What are you talking about? And he does it, and it's so fucking funny.
It's
cough and flop. Like, what? Yeah. How would someone have an idea? Like, all right,
we got Iron Ring.
Shit. They're telling me it's impossible that all these bodies would be falling out of coffins and every one out of every five's nude. I don't know what to tell you, man. I didn't rig shit. I didn't do shit. Like, the way he delivers the lines and the script and, like, yeah, we're gonna have a cable company cutting a channel who airs a fucking show about dead bodies falling out of coffins. Go, gold, run with it. It is such creative funny.
I laughed harder with each flop. To the point where I was just screaming. I don't even think I was technically laughing anymore.
No, the wood and the rolling and the family screaming.
It just evolved into me just
so
yelling.
Fucking good. I didn't rig it. I didn't do shit, man. It is so. And then Carl Havoc, like, when see the tone in the beginning when he's like, oh, man, could you believe this guy? Imagine this guy running up on you and all the makeup artists are just laughing. And then he's, it's too hot. We got too much
we
shit.
We got too much shit.
I'm telling you, I'm not doing it.
Dude, it is.
I love. What's funny about that? Because I took her tray? What does that do for the greater good?
You said it was funny. I said it was interesting. Dude, this is the highest praise you can give, like, a show like this is, like, it just makes people sit here and yell lines at each other.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
That's what this whole segment on the podcast is. We're just yelling lines.
If you
lines.
Haven't seen the show, this segment sucks. Yeah. And if you've seen it, you're screaming.
Yeah, you're
You're screaming your own lines at, like, at the wall.
Like Will Ferrell movies back in the day. That's all
yep.
you would yep. just, like, that's how we just hung out with each other. We
just
said,
yell, yeah,
just
yell
said
lines.
Those quotes.
I mean, if you, the first chance that I get to, like, organically yell, I didn't do shit. I didn't read shit, man. I mean, I will be screaming that as loud as I can. He is that to me is, like, genius.
It's
like knowing, like, this is weird and quirky, but it's gonna hit. Like, it's gonna land. Like, some of them are just funny, but some of them are, like, there's such a fine line between that skit sucking and that skit being, like, Hall of Fame worthy. And they it's, I mean, the ghost tour. Does any of these little fuckers ever fucking fall out and say, look at my fucking horse cock?
Like, that was so good. When he just, like,
jizz. When he just says, you can say, we're on the adult tour, so you can say whatever you want. Jizz. What? Jizz. Horse cock.
Like semen? Dude.
When he's explaining it, he's like, we're either on the adult tour or we're not.
He's like crying. He's like, I'm not trying to ruin anyone's day, but do any of these little fuckers ever pop by the fucking wall and have, like, a big messy shit? Like, no, they don't. He's like,
okay. I just had a question. You answered it. It's amazing. I want to talk to him. Just, like, I want to know, like, how many skits are on the cutting room floor? How many, like, do you, like, I remember when Ben Schwartz told us that they filmed four specials and, like, three of them made the cut.
Yeah.
I was floored. I thought that was, like, you had to do 90 of those to get that many funny material, that much funny material. So I want to know, like, how many skits don't make it, or how do you, like, that could be 10 times as long as it was, and I'd watch all of it.
Yeah.
You know?
So you still haven't seen season one?
I think I went back and watched. Yeah, no, but I think I still have season one to watch.
You should
yeah.
Do that
yeah.
Tonight.
Yeah. I honestly, the only reason I haven't is because I keep watching season two. I'm like, I got to see season one, but I got to see Carl again. And then I start watching Carl Havoc, and it just keeps going. I don't want to be here anymore. Like, if I was a young man still committed to the game, there's a 100% chance I would be Carl Havoc for Halloween.
Yeah.
100%. That mask, the chin kills.
So yeah, funny. It's heavy, Dave.
said it was interesting. All right. Top fives today. Top fives. We're doing top five words.
Words.
Just straight up fucking words, which is perfect for the ghost tour because jizz and horse cock and all those that he was throwing out were pretty funny. So we're going to go with top five words, your favorite words, the meaning, the sound, whatever you want. And I'm going first because I'm drafting fuck.
I knew it. I mean, that was obviously going to be.
You know, that was, as host, I just stole first pick and I'm taking fuck because it's just the single most important word in the world. I was actually listening to DeStefano and Sal Vulcano. I was listening to Hey Babe yesterday. Everybody should go listen to their latest episode. Chris tells the story of doing stand up for Steve Cohen. You know, he got that private gig to do stand up for the Mets owner. It is so fucking funny. So Steve Cohen, I don't want to tell the whole story, so you should go listen to Chris, but just to give you the setup. Chris has a Puerto Rican wife and a half Puerto Rican daughter, and Steve Cohen's wife is Puerto Rican, and so a lot of the Hispanic humor she really likes. So her and Steve Cohen's daughters, I believe, like, were the ones who found him. So Alex, Steve Cohen's wife, like, organized this whole thing. So he's like, great, I'll show up to this family event and I'll do like these Puerto Rican jokes. The wife will be happy. Steve will be happy because his wife's happy. He shows up and it's not a family event. It's guys' night out. It's 10 guys at a steakhouse. And the last thing they want to do is stop the party for this fucking comic they don't know.
Right.
So they're eating steaks and drinking wine and just busting balls and doing what rich guys do. It was Steve Cohen's
stuff. He was gonna do a set there, or he was hanging out with them?
No, he's gonna do a set.
Okay.
So Tommy Mottola, like, I think these other like ballers, you know. He was booked to do 45 minutes. Steve stops him after like one joke. He goes, "What's the deal here? How long did they tell you to do?" He goes, 45. He goes, "I'll double the pay, do 10, and get the fuck out of here." But not in like a mean way, just like, yeah, hey, listen, guy, you know? So, and he said, and Chris had told me this because I meant to try to help him, give him some like Mets material to help him out. It sounds like there was no saving this. So he got back to me. He was like, "Dude, I bombed." And I was like, "You know what? I've gotten to know enough comics now. You all say that, and you didn't bomb, you know?" And then I listened to stories like, "Oh, he bombed." they threw a crab cake at him at one point.
What?
And let me—I will just—you should go listen to it, hear it in Chris's voice and in his words, and Sal laughing at him is even funnier. But the one bit I will tell you, so Tommy Mottola is there. Tommy Mottola is a huge record exec, was Mariah Carey's husband when Mariah was like super young and first coming up. First off, Steve goes like, "This is Tommy Mottola," and Chris goes, "Oh, I had your phone when I was a kid," and he goes, that's Motorola, you asshole. Like, no. And then he's like, "Oh, you know, you used to be married to Mariah." And he goes, "I used to love Mariah Carey back when I was a kid." And which is a weird thing. I got to talk to Chris. Like, that's his ex-wife. Clearly probably not on good terms. Right. It's a weird thing to do. And he goes, "Oh, yeah, well, you must have loved cock when you were a kid, too." And he said that was the biggest laugh of the night. Everybody was laughing at him. "Oh, yeah, you like Mariah Carey when you were a kid? I bet you like cock, too." I can't think of anything worse than sitting before, like, 10 million and billionaires on their, like, steak guys' night out, you know, and be like, "Hi, I'm here to tell jokes." And get the fuck out of here, loser. But, yeah, go listen to that. But the reason why I even brought this up, and I don't remember what it was.
It was about fuck.
Fuck! As I was listening, totally really unconnected, but on Hey Babe, they blur out curses because they're trying to make money, and YouTube doesn't demonetize them. And, you know, Sal Vulcano is like executive producer at True TV. He has Impractical Jokers, like super smart businessman, funny comedian, makes a fuck ton of money. And I'm sure they were like, "Let's just like not swear, and when we do, blur it out for the benefit of like monetizing it and YouTube and all that shit." And I thought to myself for a minute, I was like, maybe we should just do that, because it's not like I hear it and I'm like that's lame, or like, oh, that ruined the flow. They just turn the mic down and bring it back up, you know, and you know what they're saying, so yeah, it doesn't lose any context. And then I was like, "Nah, man, nah. Good for you guys. Keep doing it. It's probably smart, but I gotta be able to fucking say fuck when I need to say fuck. I need to be able to say fuck if I'm fucking you. I need to be saying fuck if I'm fucking you. I need to be able to say fuck if it's happy, if it's sad, if it's good, if it's bad. It's fuck. It's the most versatile word in the fucking English language, and I can't live without it."
It is. It's great. It's a great word.
What's your favorite version of fuck? Like, fuck when you're saying sex. Fuck when you're saying fuck you. Fuck angry. When you're angry. Like an anger.
Like a fuck.
Fuck. Like a pain anger. Like a, I stubbed my toe. Fuck. Or like a I made a bad drunk decision. Fuck.
Pain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, pain.
I think a good, like, I've made an irreparable decision, like a drunk injury where it's like, I just want to rewind time and undo this, my dumb drunk self. Just fuck.
Yeah.
But a good fuck, I need it, man. I need it. All right, next pick.
Tribunal.
Whoa. Use it in a sentence for me.
I'm saying tribunal for you.
So you just like the way it sounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I know what a tribunal is. It's a fucking a court. It's a,
yeah, I would say, like, stand before the tribunal.
Yeah.
I feel like in the Hunger Games, they must stand before the tribunal.
In Star Wars.
It's very, like, very, like, dystopian, like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Tribunal.
So, yeah, tribunal. I just like it. It's a good word.
Razzmatazz.
Ooh.
Razzmatazz.
And all that jazz.
Yeah, just, I mean, I don't really say it very often.
Yeah, well, my favorite words I don't say.
Well, that's the thing. I got a couple here that I use. Some words, I'm going to just give you normal words that I just, like, use a lot. But razzmatazz.
Razzmatazz, okay.
Anytime you can get four Z's in a word, that's pretty fucking cool. You put out a razzmatazz in Scrabble, you're winning the game, okay, brother? Couldn't even do it. I mean, there's only, like, one Z on the fucking board. You can't even spell razzmatazz on fucking Scrabble.
All right. I will go with number two, cock.
Hmm. Fitting. I don't think anyone's surprised. Now, you're saying cock? Not cocksucker, just cock.
Yeah, you fucking
cock. Because I was thinking about throwing cocksucker out there.
Yeah?
I think cocksucker is a great curve. You know what? My number three pick is cocksucker. It's a different word from cock. But I think, do you like, cock? See, I think, you know, cock is an effective word. If used the right way, you know.
I think like, you're talking about using it sexually.
I am.
Whereas I'm talking about, like,
he's
fucking
a
cock.
Yeah, he's a cock. Like an insult, like an exasperated, like, fuck this guy. I think if a girl drops a cock, you know she means business.
Yeah.
Like, that's filthy. like if you're doing dirty talk and you say cock, I'm probably gonna tell you to slow down. if you're dropping cock and dirty talk, you're probably about to be disappointed. you are expecting something I probably can't deliver. If you tell me I want your fine.
You've had entirely different sexual experiences in your life than I have.
Exactly that. I want your cock. No, you want someone else's cock. Well, I have a dick. I don't have a cock, okay? I give you a penis. I'll give you a dick. That guy on the corner, he can give you
pee-pee.
A fucking.
Yeah. Give you a wee-wee.
I'll give you a wiener. Go back to your ex-boyfriend for the cock, okay? But cocksucker, I think, is a... It's like, I actually throw around cocksucker too often. And that should be reserved for, I think, like, you know, when you mean it, I'll throw it out, like, you know, look at this cocksucker. And it's a very offensive term, you know? But I'll throw it out there like it's nothing. But cock, the root of that, you know, cock, it's an important one.
Yeah.
It's an important word.
Okay. My number three now is going to be...
Trying to think of words you say. Like, you don't say wicked. You don't have any, like, the Boston slang, really.
Mm-mm.
You don't have any, like, words that you really, like...
Okay, I got my number four, nope, three, is tit.
Tit.
Because I call people fucking tits
all
the time.
Yeah. You're a big son of a tit.
Yeah.
Fucking
I
tit.
I don't know why I say tit.
That's almost more of your fuck, like, what was the word you said when you hurt? Fuck, yeah.
Fuck.
When you, like, stub your toe or something, you'll be like, ah, tit!
Yeah.
Fucking tit!
Yeah.
You almost have a Tourette's tit.
I do have
tit,
a tit.
Tit! Tit! Sometimes I don't even know if you're saying tit or if it's just your body. Tit! Just a reflex.
A noise I'm making.
Fucking tit! Yeah. Like you're, it's just a T. Tit. That's a very Feidelberg-esque one there. This is a word that I just love the sound of it, but I have also probably used this word more than any word. I'll have an honorable. I have two more, but I need three more. But preposterous.
Oh, yes.
I have used preposterous on that blog and on Twitter and in this podcast so many times that I almost think I've, like, normalized it. Preposterous is a word that shouldn't get thrown around often, but I throw around so often that I think people are, like, used to it.
Yeah.
And it should be for special occasions, but everything's preposterous to me. Anything that's just slightly outside. I mean, if you don't know by now, I like to obviously exaggerate. So if anything's even slightly weird, that's preposterous. Anything happens in sports that's funny, that's preposterous. Anything is preposterous. It's a great fucking word.
Okay, number four for me is going to be Shenanigans.
Oh! That just knocked me the fuck over. That was a great pick. Shenanigans.
Oh, and I got my fifth, too. I'm good.
Fuck, that's the pick of the draft so far. Shenanigans.
Shenanigans almost got kind of ruined for a little bit because of Super Troopers. But it has a bit, but now I can't deal with these fucking shenanigans anymore.
Shenanigans. Shenanigans is a great one. It's trying to make me think of some other. Like, my last pick, I have a word. My last two for my honorable mention, too, would be I have a word that I just like the sound and the spelling, and then I have another word that is just like I use it an obscene amount of times. Absurd would be up there with preposterous, too. By the way, I say absurd a lot. But I'm trying to think of a shenanigans, but it's just not going to come to me. I'll go with my SAT word, my Scrabble word, quixotic.
What is this one?
Quixotic.
What's that?
It's it's referencing Don Quixote. So So I think when something's quixotic, it's like Don Quixote, which means it's.
I thought that was quixotic. I mean, you
I think it's quixotic.
Know more than me in this one.
I think so, but I might be mixing them up too. I know quixotic is a word.
Is it?
What's that? What does that mean, Nick? Can you Google it? Quixotic. I feel like it's like. I want to say like puzzling or something like that. Like it's
exceedingly idealistic.
Okay, so that is that comes from Don Quixote.
Yeah.
So I don't give a fuck. I just like the way it looks. Again, you get a Q and an X in there. X is the best letter. We can agree on that.
X is the best letter. No, I disagree with that. I think G is.
What is good about G?
I don't know. I like to make G's.
You like to write them?
Yeah.
How do you write them? What do you do that's so special with a G that you like them so much?
You still make them weird Q's?
It's a dramatic G.
It's a dramatic G, yeah, but... It's a cool
letter. The fact that you really do two separate things is pretty obnoxious. like most of us just...
Ew,
actually,
that's your G?
No, wait. I actually now.
Oh,
now that I'm no, now that I that's not my G because now that I'm making fun of you, I think I do two things too. No, what? Give me a word that starts. Give me a word
George.
That. No, Gary. I need a G in the middle. No, I guess
fight.
I don't. Fine. Oh no, because I'm gonna do a lowercase. I guess no. So I do what you do, but I keep the pen on the page. The fact that you go like that is ridiculous.
I mean, that looks like Cristiano Ronaldo's. Those are a little more.
Do you take the pen off the page?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's absurd.
The
X is the superior letter.
Nah, X is stupid.
X. It's got X. X-rated. Sex. X. It can be a thing. I X it out. It can be a letter. Sometimes it's a Z. Xylophone. X. X is the best letter. We'll do top five letters next week.
Okay. My number five is hullabaloo.
See, that's a good shenanigans-esque word, you know? A lot of those, like, onomatopoeia. I think onomatopoeia words are great, but they're not as good as the word onomatopoeia.
Oh, do you know what I learned the other day? This can't be true. It can't be true. I saw like a meme or like I think it was just like a Reddit thing or something like that, where it said the fear of palindromes. There is such a thing, I guess.
And yeah, the words that can be spelled frontwards and backwards, race car.
Yeah,
like afraid of them.
The fear of palindromes. The word that describes that is a palindrome.
Oh, no way. Allophobophobia or whatever.
Yeah, like that's insane.
That is awesome. No, that's done on purpose, right?
Absolutely.
It must
like
be
whoever came up with that was like, let's fuck with these losers.
I am gonna create an absolute nightmare for about 10 people.
I'm telling you right now, if you have a fear of palindromes. You are the biggest asshole on the planet. I don't respect you as a person. I certainly don't respect your phobia. Like, if someone tells me they're afraid of heights, I'm not going to, like, push them off a fucking building, okay? If you tell me you're afraid of palindromes, I'm just selling race car, race car, race car. I'm yelling all the fucking palindromes I can think of right in your fucking stupid, dramatic face.
My My sister's name is a palindrome. That'd be real tough to have a fear of palindromes and have your name be a palindrome.
A palindrome? Yeah. What does that mean, a fear of palindromes?
I don't know.
Like you see them on the paper, and, or like you can't write them. You're like, R-A-C-E-C. Ah, I can't do it. I can't write race car. Fucking jerk offs.
It's wait, but the one at the top, the one at the top is a palindrome, right? Yeah.
Allophobia.
Yeah.
Is it a palindrome?
Yeah.
Abophobia.
AI. Yeah, that's an AI. That's 100% done on purpose. And I love it. I love whoever came up with that word. Shout out to Shakespeare. The word that I use an exceedingly large amount of times, but I think it goes under the radar because it's just a normal word. If you search my blogs or my Twitter handle and the word absolutely, it's insane.
It's absolutely preposterous.
Absolutely absurdly preposterous. But for my, that was going to be my honorable mention, but I think my honorable mention will be anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that one, the longest word in the English language, and people tried to, in like fourth grade, I remember, you know, trying to, I was like, I'm going to learn how to spell this and I'm going to know it. Anti-disestablishmentarianism, what a stupid word that is.
Hey, anybody, on your list of best words.
Anybody who's
what
ever
a stupid fucking word.
Anybody who's ever My used that favorite. Word. Has anybody ever used that word other than saying what's the longest word? Like if there's ever been someone writing in the New York Times being like, and, you know, in this case of anti-disestablishmentarianism, we saw, like, you actually used anti-disestablishmentarianism? No, you fucking didn't.
No.
You asshole. All right. Voicemails and then chiclets. Let's do it. Voicemails are brought to you by.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Voicemails, what do we got?
Cassie, Fights, Nick, Jackie, rest of the gang. I got an interesting hypothetical that came up at lunch the other day. If we lived in a world where you can buy other people's brains and transplant them, how much do you think your brain would go for? You got to account for everything, talking smarts, comedy, but you also got to look for the other stuff too, mental illness, depression, all that. Viva.
I think if my like 24-year-old brain would be like pretty highly coveted, and then I think my 34-year-old brain, no thanks.
I think I have an exceptionally valuable brain.
Wow.
Like top 1%.
Really?
Yep. I think.
What makes your dumbass say that?
Because I think it's like, I think if you could have a day with my brain, I think everyone on the planet would want to give it a try.
That's the thing. You want to take it for a spin. You don't want to buy the car.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, well, like, everyone, almost like going on like a fucking roller coaster. Like, everyone's like, I gotta just see what a day in the life is like.
Yeah.
I would have a very, very sought after brain.
Your brain would be like, I'll lease it, but I don't want to buy it.
Yeah.
I want to have it for 36,000 miles, but I got to get it back. Yeah. Eventually, I got to get that back to the dealer.
It's like when you go to a beach town and people have like those little cruisers that you rent for the day.
And you can just leave it on the corner when you're done.
That's what you do with my brain.
Yeah.
Just fucking.
Your brain, if you could combine brains, that would be the real value. If I could like take your brain for a spin, get some of your ideas and see how things work, and then come back to my brain, but keep some of your brain with me, that would be good.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there's
because, you know, you got ideas coming out of your fucking eyeballs.
There's a good amount of good in this brain. There's a lot of bad in it, but
yeah,
it's always fun. Every day's interesting. I can tell you.
Wouldn't that be so cool to watch? I would love, like, sometimes, you know, I've had so many surgeries and shit like that, and sometimes I'm like, my fucking back hurts. Did a bum punch me or what? But no, I'm like, is that a normal amount of, like, pain? Am I being a baby, or is this something that if other people felt it, they would be like, oh, my God, take me to the ER? You can't really tell. You never know. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So sometimes I'm like, I would love to feel what other people feel just to know, like, what the baseline is, you know? I feel like if men and women could, like, feel each other's feeling, you know, like, live in each other's bodies for a day, I think, like, relationships would be Dr. Drew was saying, I might have said this already on the podcast, but Dr. Drew was on, I think, with Tom Segura and Bert and them, and was saying that the thing he hears most about transgender men, women turning into men, when they get their testosterone, like, treatment booster or whatever, they, like, go apologize to the men in their life. They're like, oh, my God, I'm, like, so sorry. Like,
why?
Because they feel, like, the testosterone, and they're like, oh, I fucking understand it now.
Yeah, yeah.
you know, you got this dick. You want to fuck this. You want to, you know, your brain, you know, whatever. I actually don't even know what it is. That's what I'm assuming it is, but the difference between the two. And it's like you get to walk a mile in their shoes all of a sudden. You're like, oh, I understand why you're being an asshole.
It is
why
absolute fucking hell.
Torture. And when he was
like,
joking.
I don't want to do the things I want to do.
And he was joking, saying, and the time that, you know, God or whoever decided to give it to you is when you're like 13. Like, when you have no capability of handling it, that's when you get your booster shot. But, you know, yeah, you could, like, feel them, you know, emotionally, mentally, sexually, socially, whatever, you know, it would be, like, it would change everything. So if you could, like, get in your brain, learn some of this, come back and take, you know, the good parts of your brain and the good parts of my brain, all that shit, that would be the real value of it all.
That would be, yeah, that would be pretty, pretty heavily sought after.
Would you switch brains with, like, Elon Musk right now?
No.
Yeah, I don't think I would either.
Not interested.
And it's like, yeah, maybe he has $250 billion, and maybe he's going to space and all that shit, but, like, I bet you
but
otherwise
also,
it's
like,
a
I wouldn't be able to
there.
Do anything with it. Like what? If I switch brains, like, I guess if I have his
you
brain,
would.
Then I can't understand things,
yeah.
Right?
You like, see the Matrix. You're like, I have all this information, and I know how to build a company around it, you know?
No, I'd be interested in switching brains with, like, that homeless guy who punched you.
Yeah, just to see what's
just,
up.
Just to see what that's like.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have any interest in trying to be, like a famous person's brain.
I want to trade brains with, like, the most ignorant person in the world. And I don't mean that, like, you know, you're ignorant about, like, racism. I mean that as, like you have no aspirations. You're a simpleton, but you're happy about that, you know? I would love that. Take the whatever little portion of my brain that controls ambition and all that shit. Take it out. Take it out of my brain.
Not
I don't want
interested.
Any of that, man. You know what is interesting? I found this on a TikTok, so maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But the reason why foot fetishes are so common on your brain, you know, you got all those wrinkles.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the wrinkle, and then there's the space in between the wrinkles.
Yeah.
Those are, I don't know, those are two things. And along those wrinkles and in those spaces in between are, like, nerves and nerve endings and the things that kind of send messages all over your body, all that shit. And in the portion of your brain that controls pleasure, along one of those wrinkles is, like, your dick and your balls and your clit and your vagina, like, all your genitals. And then, like, the next thing is your foot. It's just, like, your feet are close to your genitals in your pleasure part of your brain. So you're just kind of getting your wires crossed.
Huh.
So there's, like, a physical reason why you might be into feet. It's not just like, those turn me on. It's like, I'm thinking about my dick, but my feet, you know, my toes are getting me mixed up with my dick and balls. It's like there's a reason for it, which is actually – I would take solace in that if I was a foot guy. Because I feel like if I had a foot fetish, I'd be a little bit like, fuck. I'm a foot weirdo, you know. Oh, actually, of all the fetishes, it's like the least.
It is one of my favorite memes I ever saw once was like it's like a Pokemon meme, and uh-huh. it's like six different Pokemon like holding guns up at Ash, and he's got his hands up, being like, "What did I?" Like, you tell like, "What did I do?"
Yeah,
and it's like ass guys, boob guys, leg guys, tick guys,
all good,
and it's like. Fuck guys. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Don't we all
I just like if anything, it's like the least, you know, it's the most harmless. It's like I just like those tootsies, man. No big deal. I almost think I don't like it because it's cliche. I wouldn't want to be like lumped in. Oh, I'm a foot guy.
Yeah.
I'd rather be a weird fetish guy. I'd rather be like I got a latex milk fetish or some shit. I don't know. Like, oh yeah, you got a foot fetish, whatever, dude. I want the real deal.
Like a milking fetish.
Yeah, I'd rather that than be just a foot guy. A dime a dozen. But imagine that. It's just like, yeah, my wires got crossed. I can't help it. When I see feet, it makes me think of, like, sex. I don't know. It's fucked up.
I want to fuck them.
Yeah. I feel like... Do you have any fetishes?
Do I have any fetishes?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, I like everything.
My fetish is everything.
I don't think I
just don't know what,
like,
what qualifies as a fetish. You know,
like, I don't know.
Like, either. I'm an ass guy. Does that make, you know, how much do you have to like ass?
Yeah,
to be,
I mean, you probably
fetish?
Got a butthole fetish.
Probably. But don't we all?
Yeah, that's what
don't
I'm saying.
Don't we all?
Like, it's like, who doesn't have a butthole fetish?
You know, like, if you don't have a butthole fetish, grow up. You know, like, that's, we all have that. That's just called, like, being horny.
Yeah.
I want to see your asshole. But I don't know. Maybe we do. You know?
I,
that's why I want to take a spin in other people's brains.
Yeah.
Like, when we put out a segment about sex, I tweet about like a hot chick or say something about sex, inevitably you're getting bonked. People are going crazy on the internet with the horny bonks. I dare I say it's jumped the shark along with, you know, rent free and all those other things. Like you say anything about the opposite sex and someone's bonking you. It's crazy.
Yeah. But I like a good bonk still.
But it's funny. It's fun. But there are people who are like, you know, like I think I can talk about sex the same way I can talk about sports. Like it's just like a thing. But there are people out there who are like, like it's too much sex for me. Like, I want to get inside your brain and be like, what this makes you uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Are you offended? Or do you just not like the topic? Like, what do you mean? It's just like any other topic. It's like talk about the weather, talk about sports, talk about politics, talk about fucking. It's just all the same. But there are people who are like, it's too much sex. It's like, what's going on in your loser brain that's a big deal to you?
Yeah, like
I'd like to hear it.
He said cock. Can't listen to this.
Yeah, like, right. But I
talk
I
about
almost,
a butthole fetish.
But I almost right. wanna. Yeah. that I might understand.
Now that we're explaining it, that makes sense.
That I get. Anyway, who do you think would be the most coveted brain?
Me.
In the world, John Feidelberg. You might be the most underrated brain.
I think
great value pick,
yeah.
But you're not going to be the number one pick.
I
think the number one pick, I think the one thing I've seen translate throughout all generations is usually comedy. And I think it would be Chappelle.
Do you think it'd be the most valued brain? I don't think so.
I don't think the most valued. I think the most, like, if it was a draft, like if you gave everyone a list, like put down like the brain you want to be inside of or see, got to take a like a spin the most. I think young, old, black, white, this, rich, poor, all that, like comedy and specifically Chappelle transcends all of that. Everybody from all those different groups and demos like it.
I think Chappelle is definitely an interesting one.
And to see just like the top comedy brain, I think is like. Has a lot
but
of value.
But I don't think that he would be the number one pick. I think he's a good pick, and I think he might be my number one pick. But if it's like the average in the world, like what the market decides is the most valuable.
But you know why I think Chappelle is like he's the smartest. Like no, you're not gonna. Yes, you could just pick the smartest guy. I don't know, some fucking scientist at the Smithsonian Department, whatever. But that's not like cool or fun or whatever. But I think people know Chappelle has like a brilliant brain that he uses in a cool and funny way. I think that's the appeal of it. Because, like, I could jump into your brain, and you're a Pulitzer Prize winner, but I don't even know what the fuck, you know? But I guess you do, because I'm in your brain.
Because I'm in your brain.
But, and I guess I like it, because I'm in your brain. It's almost like I need somebody else's brain while still maintaining my likes and interests.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's like, I love comedy, and if I can now see how he, like, does it all, that's why I would pick it. What do you think the number one pick would be?
I don't fucking know. It honestly, it's probably Musk.
Yeah.
Like, it'd probably be Elon Musk. But I have no interest in that. But if like, it's
you know what a real
or Bezos or fucking,
one of the billionaires.
Yeah,
I think what I would like to do is not just have somebody's brain. I'd like to be in their brain for a specific moment. Like I would love to be in Bezos's brain, knowing that you're the richest man in the world at the time when your like affair and your sex and all that shit leaked.
I would not want to be in that.
Because I want to know if he, like, maybe he was just like, I don't care. Or maybe he was freaking out the same way I was freaking out. And I could be like, man, me and the billionaire Jeff Bezos were like on the same fucking level for that moment. Or if it's just something, you know, I want to be like in a moment where it's like, all right, I know how I would react. Let me see how this guy would react and see if it's like totally fucking different. Just to be like, oh, this is how the rich people handle that, or this is how the smart people handle that.
He just did not care at all.
Yeah, like truly, like indifferent. Like, whatever, man. Whatever, man. All right, last voicemail before we got chicklets. Let's do it.
What's up, guys? Got a basic would you rather question for you guys. Would you rather only run everywhere for the rest of your life, meaning that you can never walk anywhere ever again, even to the bathroom, just down the hall?
We got it.
Or would you rather every time you have to talk, you have to scream at the top of your lungs? Or
this is a great question.
Shout or whatever.
This is a great question.
Right. Peace.
Equally, not equally, but both socially awkward. But you can't be screaming.
I think you gotta take a run too. But like
you can't. I mean, you know, you're at the bar, you're at the restaurant, you're sitting down, you're like, hang on, guys, I gotta piss. I'll be right back. Full speed ahead. You look like an asshole, right? But you know what's worse than that? I'll be right back, guys. I gotta pee. Like you just can't be doing that. You can't be doing that. I didn't do shit. I didn't break shit.
I think
you can't.
It's
you're at a funeral. Like, as always, you gotta play these things out.
Your funeral walk like So what if I'm in a line? Like that prohibits me from. So like I'm thinking of like getting communion.
Yeah.
At a funeral.
Yeah.
Well, do you get communion at funerals? No.
No. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You do. I would say, let's say the rule is like, you wait like an extra beat until there's like a free throw lane worth of space, then you sprint like 15 feet. Even in lines, you got to sprint. And you're right. And those all would be. Yeah, so in that instance, I can go into a funeral and I can just be quiet for an hour and not say anything.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, you can't do the church whisper. Imagine that. You're like, psst, psst. You're next! You know, you can't do it. But if yes, yeah, so you can be quiet, but you have to move. So in that sense, you are the asshole running around the funeral. But.
Running up a communion line.
Yeah. So fun.
Very fun. I don't know how
swim
we got funerals,
moved around them.
Yeah.
It is.
I'm trying to just think of the worst scenarios for both.
Well, why? It's just walking, walking to work. I guess I just thought I could take Ubers now, and because I'm not running to work every day. That's not happening.
You get in shape. I don't know.
Not interested.
I'm not worried about that. I'm more worried about like the weirdness, like the times where you're just like. Like, you can't walk with it.
Sex would be...
Well, but you're not...
You're
screaming. This feels so good! You're so tight! Yeah, that would be tough. I'm thinking about, though, like, you couldn't go anywhere with anybody ever again. Hey, like, hey, let's go out to lunch. And like, I'll, you know, catch up in 15 minutes. And for some reason, I'm picturing you're very fast. You know? Like, if I were to run everywhere, you could probably just keep up with me with a brisk walk, you know? But I'm picturing I'm like the Flash all of a sudden. It's like, I'll get to the restaurant. I'll get our table. I'll see you in 30.
That is true. Yeah, you never travel anywhere.
Go anywhere with
anybody. But you can't take Ubers.
Yeah, so yeah. But even, you know, it's just funny. Like, you get out of the Uber and you just run to the door. But I ultimately think there's just more work situations, date romantic situations, social situations where you just be like, we can't bring the screaming guy around.
Right.
you can't go to the movie. Again, but you can always choose not to talk.
So, right.
It might suck, but it's like, I'm going to go to the bar, and I'm going to fucking like laugh, and I'll sign at you. You know? Yeah. But I won't actually have any conversations.
Never, you can never tell a story ever again. I mean, come on. You can't.
Or, I mean, your life would have to be like on FaceTime, and I just will turn the volume down. You know?
Yeah.
Boy, this is tough. This is a good one.
It is. You have to run.
Yeah.
You can't.
And there probably will be some really bad times. But the worst for each situation, yelling is worse than running.
Way worse.
And that's the real problem.
Way worse.
Again, even just like at work, you'll lose your job. You know, you can't be the guy screaming in the office. You can't be the guy screaming at customers. You just can't do it. You can be the weirdo who runs places. My dad, when he went to SUNY Maritime, the rule when you're an underclassman is you have to run everywhere. You can't walk.
Really?
You have to run to class. You have to run to your dorms. Like if
dude, running with a backpack fucking sucks too.
Yeah, I mean they were not fucking around. But everywhere is it's a whole different ballgame. So what we're gonna do? So the ATI app, Answer the Internet. We revamped and relaunched the whole app. There's now 9 decks of cards you can pick, and we're gonna release a new deck soon using voicemail questions that we can like cycle in and out. So if you've had the ATI deck, ATI app, and you've gone through all the decks, we're going to be cycling new questions in, so you can go on the app.
I'll get this one in there tomorrow.
Right, so you can, you know, on your app, you can be playing with your friends, and we'll have the chicken chimpanzee question. You'll have the running and yelling question. So almost every week now, we'll have new questions cycling in, and you don't have to buy them every single time, right? You can just keep doing some of the new ones.
Oh yeah, if it's in the best of, it'll just keep cycling.
So we'll cycle.
It
so yeah. So anytime there's a new deck, you buy that. But within those decks, when we cycle in the best of and the voicemails, you'll just get new questions. So it's a fully functioning like when we first released it, it was like 3 decks and you go through it and that was it. Now we have it like fully operating where it's always got new questions and always got new decks coming out. So download it for free. There's some questions for free, and then you buy the rest of them. But as I said, we'll keep updating them with your voicemails and the best questions we come across. So download the app now. It's also got all of the videos from your favorite contestants, for our favorite guests. So you can watch the videos on there and play along with your friends. It's the best app to have for the bar, the pregame, the icebreaker. You're at a wedding. You're at a bachelor party. You're... You know, wherever it is, you got to break the ice or stir up some conversation. You're on a date, whatever it may be. It's the best app to have, you know, in the holster, ready to go. So download the AT app today. It's in the Google Play Store as well as the App Store, so you can get it on Apple and Android and to the internet. Chicklets time. One of our best interviews with one of the best podcasts in the world right now. It's Biz, Wit, and Rear App.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're rolling, right, Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah, first appearance. You
I'm
motherfuckers.
Glad we made it. I'm glad
really?
We made it.
You guys have been hiding?
Well, I appeared a long time. Well, before Chicklets,
No, you guys, you've been on... but never like the full Chicklets gang. Not since you guys have taken over the fucking world.
When did you go on?
Back when you used to do the, what was the like YouTube thing? Years ago, yeah.
Like when KFC Radio was like the only podcast out, I would just have everybody on in
the Arsenal show. The first YouTube show, we talked about it recently actually, it was our advertising was, we sold our advertising for $1,000 for the full month. And it was every episode they got like three drops. It was the full presentation. Like,
and it was one. It was one company.
It was Streaker Sports. It's like a I think a Massachusetts like shorts company.
Yeah, they sell like lacrosse type shorts. Or something.
They're like publicly traded now because of you guys.
There's none of that.
Slinging your own sales.
Yeah, I was like, all right, I'll take $1,000.
We like $1,000.
Yeah, it was like $250 for each of us, and then like $200
by each of us. Like I saw a fucking dime.
No, Dave, you absolutely. Dave got 800. You got 100 each.
You absolutely. Did.
No.
We split that money up.
Did we?
Because we bought like a microphone and then everyone got like $200.
Yeah.
Dude, all right.
It was like, all right, we got advertising. We're on our way, man.
Was that like 2015 or way before?
No, that was
that.
2012.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
It was years before Chicklets. Yeah.
That was crazy. It was a podcast?
Yeah. Well, it was on YouTube, but it was a pod. Yeah, it was like a little bit of. Now that everyone wants YouTube. It's driving me crazy because we were on YouTube in 2012,
and then
they said you have to focus on the audio, and I was like, okay. And now they're like, how come your YouTube numbers aren't big? I was like, I would have had like a decade worth of YouTube growth if you just let me do my thing.
I know.
So it was a little bit video.
Somebody forced you out.
Yeah. Forget about it. Vine's the next big thing.
Choice.
Yeah. No. It was and
we were late
sense.
To the YouTube game too.
We were the whole
company.
You
could be boxing one of the Paul brothers. Had you
I was
stayed
gonna
in that
say,
long.
Man, like YouTube's where it's at now, and we missed that whole
You'd
wave.
Be fighting Evander Holyfield right now. Played your cards right,
dude. That when are you guys gonna box? You guys should start fighting.
I consider
I've told
it.
Biz.
I mean,
no,
Biz, you'll fight and you'll win.
I'm more
White
Mickey than Rocky.
Me and White Sox Dave are going to be going at it.
No, dude, you were right. His name is not a draw. He's a
why don't you fight Jake
midget.
Paul?
Oh, I don't think he would fight a peasant like me. He's a big name in the. He's a big.
I mean,
he would say the same thing to me as I said to White Sox Dave.
But
you got like, the who? Juice though, man.
I would love to. I would love it because I would have to get back in shape and spend some time.
I think Biz versus Jake Paul is intriguing.
I think Jake Paul laughs at it now because. But at one point, it was probably legit. Mm-hmm. But if you got the whole Barstool machine behind
that's
him,
I mean.
Then maybe.
They just want the money, man.
I'll fight them both back to back.
Let's go!
I'm interested.
How much you want? I said this. How much you want? Like, what do you, if we're like, Biz, you're getting
here's
this,
the
you'll box.
Yeah.
We can cut this.
No, I don't care.
No, I'm sorry.
Give him $1 million.
I would assume you get, 3 months to train? Is that how it works?
Sure, yeah, I'm sure you can work that into it, you know. Whoever you did it with would probably allow that, you know, like whatever you need to make sure you're in best shape.
Now, keep in mind, getting knocked out by one of these guys is something that you'll never be able to live down.
Thing.
Look at
that's
Robinson.
Why I'll never,
I mean,
that's why I'll never.
That's me, why. That's anyway, why.
But, I'll never put myself
but
out
but I'll
there
say this. I've never.
Again.
I mean, that one picture wants you.
I have no head.
Yeah, I've never been afraid to lose fights. So I think $1 million would be nice.
Well, I said for me.
I put on a way better show than Jose Canseco.
Well, yeah. They should make more than.
You can handle yourself, right? Like, so people have asked me the question. I was like, I would need to calculate how much money I can potentially make for the rest of my career, and then I need that because it's going to be over for me. Like, it'll be so fucking embarrassing that no one's ever going to like.
See, but I don't think losing a fight's that embarrassing. I think like
getting knocked out.
It depends on which manner, though.
Looking the way I look and how it would happen. If you just get up there and you can handle yourself and you get knocked out, so be it. When you're a total embarrassment and you get fucking one punched and then that's it for you.
People are still,
no one is ever gonna like want to.
Who was
the
clip of the recent knockout? It was so bad for the guy.
Nate Robinson.
Was it Nate Robinson?
Ben Askren too. I mean, that was after.
I mean,
that
Ben Askren was like a
Trevor Burbick got knocked out by Tyson 30 years ago, and he's still like fucking getting gifted.
There's. You can, like, I exaggerate saying your career's over, but it's going to follow you everywhere you go. You
anytime
know what I mean?
You send out a tweet, picture, your face.
Anytime you have to like talk shit or get into it with somebody,
you're a joke.
They just come over the top, like bam. Oh yeah, well, remember this.
I'm not fighting. I go, if you want to see what it would be like me in a Rough and Rowdy, just look at Will Ferrell in Old School when he's throwing around the fucking trash can in the locker room with his shirt off and his underwear. I'm like, that's me. Like that would be me in the fight. I'm
keep
not
your
doing
composure.
It. I'm not doing it.
Biz will sign a deal with Giphy to get 50 cents every time the gift gets.
There you go. You make money. Yeah, but everyone's got a number.
Me?
No?
Yeah. I mean, I say that, but also you're set with money. So you truly, no, if I said $50 million,
obviously.
So if I said $20 million.
Yeah.
$10
million. Yeah. And after that,
even,
no.
I don't even know.
Give me $9 million, I'm not doing it.
$9,999,999.
Well, I'm trying to think what would just, I could never step foot on a commercial airline again. I think if I got 10 more sheets, I'm private the rest of my life, and there we go. And country clubs.
That's
don't,
his goal in life, to never have to stop on a, or step on a commercial.
It was my first time ever just this past week going to Milwaukee, and I understand it. Like,
dude,
that was your first PJ?
First PJ.
There's nothing.
Wow. First fucking taste you get of the good life. I was like, I can't go back to
there's this. Nothing remotely close to as good as flying private for the ultra wealthy people. Like, yeah. That is the ultimate of what changes.
I'm still going to these. I won't even get a black car for Uber, let alone.
This is getting Uber X's in Manhattan.
I get Uber X. I don't do the black cars. No, Wit was,
like
disgusting because I went over for
dude,
went,
pulled up to my house.
No,
this is unbelievable. I forgot.
No, you ordered me one to come, and then
this
when
is
I
the
was,
story. So he's in Boston, and I'm like, dude, come down for dinner, watch one of the games, and I said, I'll send you up a car
because my girl was there, and our girls had never met.
Yes, okay. So
little
sweet.
Double date.
Yeah, you know, girls got to talk it out. So I send up a nice town black car, and I, you know, pick him up, drive him back, and then I said, Biz, you want me to get a car home? He's like, no, I'll order one at my house. It's like 11 o'clock. I see out the door a taxi cab pulled up. I go, dude, you got a taxi? He's like, no, that's Uber. I guess Uber X also shares with the taxis. I'm like, people in my neighborhood are going to think I'm a fucking caged animal. You have a yellow taxi pulling up to my house?
But it had one of the signs that was probably, I would
his
say,
girl.
It was about 4 feet long and about 2 feet high. And it was, you could have put the ad here, but there was no ad on it. So it was just,
couldn't even
it was
get
like that.
Ad.
It was like as bright as that ring light. So the whole fucking neighborhood was probably like, you know, looking through their blinds.
There
like,
goes
what the
neighborhood.
Hell?
Oh, my God.
Yo, I'm pretty conservative.
Whitney must have had a Bernie Madoff financial advisor. He's ordering people yellow taxis to leave his house now.
Well, I've seen like tons of tweets about that you're cheap. Why? I've spent a lot of time with you. I don't find you cheap.
It's an overblown.
Yeah, it's overblown.
He's had a couple instances.
There's a difference between cheap and not lavish. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know,
he's
frugal. That guy's important.
Frugal.
He's fucking throwing it around. Like
I think I used
style.
To be a lot worse. But
cheap,
no, I've
you
got
cheap?
I've got
or
better.
Lavish.
Yeah,
no,
well,
like it's
because when you
because
when you start
how you stay rich, man.
When you start getting the label, you got to make sure you're going out of your way to not like, oh god, this guy actually is. So now you, you try to
shit your pants so you don't have to miss a bill.
Like I steal from RA's wallet when he's not looking.
Wallet.
I think there was
a
I think Austin
I had a Velcro
Matthews.
Wallet.
For people who don't know, Austin Matthews, star player in the Toronto Maple Leafs, he mentioned that a couple times. Biz realized that the waiter was coming with the bill over there and the bathroom's over there. It's like, be right back, guys. It's like perfect timing. But in the end, very generous guy.
Oh, yeah.
Very generous guy. No doubt.
No, for real.
I
wouldn't even call you frugal. Like you like to know where the money goes. That frugal is like just below cheap. Like cheap is cheap. And then frugal is like,
listen,
I'm
we
really
see
cautious.
What Grinnelli walks around with. We know you guys are fucking.
That's how there you go. There's
Grinnelli's loaded. Don't let him fool you.
We were going to get RA when we just gave him a stack of cash.
Yeah, I was
gonna,
so. I'm not a jewelry
guy.
I do remember
guy.
When that happened.
I don't even wear a wedding ring.
I said cash value, please.
Yeah, I don't even wear a wedding ring.
Really
so.
Appreciate it, but, you know.
Have we started this interview?
Yeah, this is
oh, we just started it.
We need
oh, I didn't even know we were doing an intro. I was actually like, dude, we have an interview in 40 minutes. We got to get this thing stuck.
This is how we do the interviews around here. Yeah.
We've had guests on like who are on for like 20 minutes. They're like, so like, same thing. They're like, I only have 10 minutes left. Like, oh no,
we're pretty much done.
Yeah, we're almost done, dude.
Yeah.
Wait, I was talking about cheating on my old lady. We're gonna keep it. That's good for ratings.
Flip that.
Yeah, we hope you say that shit. We're trying to trick you.
Yeah, we had a guy the other day. I don't know if you seen the show Mindhunter on Netflix.
I have, and it's not on anymore.
I know.
Great
no.
show. Is it the star?
We Tesh, the other one, the older guy of the two.
Okay.
So like, there's the founder, yep. Like the young looking dude. And he like sat down and he was talking about like getting dinner with David Fincher and stuff like that, and we're like, oh, that means Mindhunter's back. And then, like, 10 minutes later, he was like, wait, was that in the interview? Like, oh, yeah, that was
Yeah, that's part of it. For sure.
Don't come in here and just start talking to us. No. Fuck, everything's recorded.
Hot mics, this show, though, is about how, is it the FBI? Or they started their, like, profiles. How to hunt a serial killer. And so it's a kind like of based on a true story.
I think I've started watching
it. A young, hot shot kind of guy, and then also the guy you interviewed, he's old school,
he's
like square head.
And dude, that's a great like that show.
That's my fucking
is he? Stares through your soul.
He looks
when he's
like he reminds
you,
me of the dad in Wonder Years.
Yes. Like scary.
Remember Kevin's dad?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Have you seen it, R.A.?
I've seen the one that he is. I haven't seen mine.
Oh, dude. All right. I mean, R.A.'s sick of the crime stuff.
Yeah, it's been recommended. Yeah, I kind of tapped out on like the murder stuff.
But try Mindhunter. All right.
I will.
It's a good love. Because I'm with you on that. A lot of it is like it's the same shit again, but this is really.
Yeah, and anything with Finch.
It's also real. It's real serial killers.
Yeah,
it's
based on real shit.
So, and he was like, he was all business, man. He was talking to us about, like, you know, just his career and the craft of acting. And he's like staring through your soul. And I was like, okay,
and you're like,
yeah.
Does this dude know how much 3G I'm on?
It's so weird when you're like, we're interviewing people like that who are like so dedicated to the craft. Because like you guys, when you were doing interviews, like you know about hockey, you've lived it. Like, I don't fucking know shit about acting. And they're like trying to explain it. We're like, yeah. I don't know, man. I guess
no,
so.
And you know, as they're explaining it, they're thinking, like, this guy is not getting what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's not respecting what I'm
saying.
Fucking like,
idiots.
Listen to me.
Well, because there are actors who, like, they are serious about the craft and they prize. And then there are other actors who just show up and they fucking turn it on and they're just as good as the people
I
pour the hat and soul into it.
Anthony Hopkins was talking about, like, how Daniel Day-Lewis method acts. And he was he was like, fuck that.
I
just show up when the cameras are rolling, you act. That's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think Hopkins was like, he's like, I have a job. I do my job and I go home.
Yeah. That whole
I
life.
Know, but they're so different, these kids.
I'm obsessed.
Kids, and it's like they're just different dudes.
I was watching Red October the other night, and it was like, I tweeted about how it's hilarious that Connery was just like, I'm not doing an accent. I'm Scottish. I'll play a Russian, but I'm not doing a fucking accent.
Yeah.
And then I Googled it, and I guess he was a late addition. He did one day of rehearsals and was like, all right, let's start filming.
I'm good.
Like I'm ready to rip.
Yeah, he's just a
so
boss.
Going back, Daniel Day-Lewis, I'm obsessed with watching his interviews on YouTube. I find it fascinating. I agree with you that like it seems like a bit much to act as that
like,
person.
Imagine being like his family
for
like
Lincoln,
dad,
his
come
kids,
on.
He was a carpenter.
So for Lincoln, I think for Lincoln, he was like shitting in an outhouse. He was living in a place with no
like,
electricity, and he also talked about the backside of it is like learning to not be that person anymore. So when he's doing these roles, it's like a 3-year commitment.
He's come out of it.
So,
yeah.
But hey, I mean, I do respect it because every
but
time
then,
he does
I'll
nail
say
it.
This though about him is thankfully he did it because there will be blood in his performance.
Yeah.
Like,
so
I'm glad I got to
but
see
also,
that.
But also, don't you think it's I guess it's kind of like sports where it's like there's the guy who can be in the gym or on the ice like 24 hours a day and then there's the guy with like the natural talent who's like, I don't even practice.
You'd
I'm
much rather be
good.
The Phil Kessel.
That's what I mean.
Who's the natural talent of Hollywood? Because I think that Leo even, he dives into his roles pretty good.
Sure. But I mean, a guy like Anthony Hopkins who was like, I don't need to do all that.
He just shows up and it's
on. That's how he said it.
I want to Google it because I wanted to get it right. There's a legendary story. It's a movie from the 70s, a marathon man, Dustin Hoffman and Laurence Olivier, he's like a famous actor from the 40s and 50s. And like Dustin Hoffman was like getting into his role, and he's like, well, what you do? He's like, I stayed up for like the last 3 nights to get into it. And now Laurence Olivier, he's like one of the most famous actors ever. He's like, sir, well, why don't you just try acting? Like, it's like this legendary story.
Yeah.
So.
I'd rather be that, but what would you guys have done if you weren't like sports guys growing up? Like, I don't play, but just being a sports fan half the time because my team sucks so much, I'm like, I wish I just, like, played instruments and liked
I always wanted
and, like,
to be an architect.
Architect for biz? Yeah. Oh. Why'd you make that face, Whitney?
I'm not going to make the joke that I just thought because it's not fair, but you as an architect, dude, I'm not confident in the stability of the building that was designed and built by you. I just can't picture it. You're an athlete. You're a big dude. Your brain building buildings is not what I could picture going on in your world.
All right, you have anything to say?
It's not chirping.
I think that Biz is a successful guy.
I think
like
he's smart, but like,
what if I became an architect just to spite Wit and quit the podcast?
For the content, just for the content.
And then
go to architect school.
Next thing you know, I got a master class in architecture.
No, you get to rough and rowdy, a nerd from architect school.
I'm just fascinated by structures and buildings. And there was actually a master class, and that's the reason I thought of it. I forget who the guy's name is, but it was on a world famous architect, and he's designed plenty of buildings. And I'm just fascinated.
The biz nasty like bridge somewhere. Imagine that you build yourself a suspension bridge.
I think I would start with. I think I would start with a house.
You gotta light. You gotta light a bowl at one end.
If he's not confident that this thing's gonna stay up, I think I should just sacrifice my own life as opposed to maybe a lot of people driving on this bridge. But all right,
what would you have done?
I don't know.
Is there a plan B for
a lawyer? A lawyer, because he can argue like a madman.
No, it's a cliche answer, but I was like the kid who was like, I never thought about anything else. Yeah. I just, and looking back, I guess that's not a great thing. That's why my parents used to say, like, you got to be more well-rounded, but I never ever thought I was gonna do anything else but play in the NHL.
All right,
I was the same way.
I get it.
Okay, okay. Here's the thing, though. It could have been kind of ugly if I'd busted my ankle when I was 16, not after I signed a big deal. Like, I don't know what would I have done.
Right.
But
well,
it's hard.
I want to know what RA would do if he wasn't podcasting.
He did it.
Yeah, you know, I did have seven careers before this. But remember, I sent you guys. It was my 10th, like. I was in like the fourth grade, and there was every year the teacher have you write an autobiography, even though you're only 10. And I had it said, when I grow up, I want to be either a movie director, an astronaut, or a Playboy photographer. I was like 10. Now they send me their fucking principal's office.
Yeah, well, listen, KFC Radio listeners, this dude got a Playboy subscription when he was in fifth
grade. It may as well have been a prescription.
Fifth grade.
I said prescription on the podcast.
Fifth grade,
that's why
dude.
I was probably 13 or 14. Yeah, and how I got it, my mother was, she was pretty cool about
mail
that
to
shit.
The house and everything?
Well, number Publishers Clearing House, I think they're still around. Like, they would say, you may have already won $10 million or whatever.
I got sports
and
for
so
kids.
The way to enter, the way to enter was you had to like buy a couple magazine subscriptions. Yeah. So I checked off Sports Illustrated and Playboy, and you're already on some mail list. They don't know how old you are. And then, like, 2 months later, in the plastic bag, Playboy magazine. Like,
did you have to, like, run home?
My mother was actually pretty cool about, like, you know, I mean, she knew we were, like, boys. Because I legit read it. And, like, the whole, like, it was like,
we have the article. Actually, the first time ever.
Well, I'll say, who was it? Glennie Balls, who went through one recently?
Yeah,
and he was bang on. I used to think Playboy was so overrated because you wouldn't even see a naked chick till halfway through the fucking
magazine. He was, like, on page 75.
I used to get
nipple.
The Fox ones where people, girls are just jamming their mitts with like big fat fucking dildos.
Oh, the ones that are
they
covered
used to,
up.
They used to have a page that was the girl, and then there was a dartboard on it where you could shoot your load.
Bro,
you could shoot your load onto the page.
Yes, there was. I fucking so.
Down boy. I don't know. I would never defile a Playboy.
Every summer I go to Providence College hockey camp, and it was 2 weeks overnight. Or it was 1 week, but I would do two. And we would have this fucking porn mag that we'd pass around. It was like Baby Fox. It was one of those gritty ones. And the pages got stuck together because kids were aiming at the fucking
target.
Kids were fucking
passing it around.
And now Glennie's doing
it. It was called Peter North Target Practice because he used to shoot
bro,
those.
Bro, we would fucking try and hammer it.
This is probably a question for all the listeners. Like, how do you – well, somebody out there – How did Peter
you
North? How did he get?
He said he would eat celery.
Sit on a bag of frozen.
He used to eat celery. That's
you
what
can
he
do
said.
That. You can sit on the peas. That guy's got natural. So power. That guy just whips up a batch that's just bigger
I mean,
than
there's
everybody
a strong amount of people that are listening. This have probably watched a Peter North compilation of him coming on chick's face. Hey, the funniest is when he's doing it and it just keeps coming out, and the girl starts
going.
She goes out of character and she just starts
laughing. Yeah, she breaks.
She's like, "What is happening?
Don't break!"
She's like Jimmy Fallon on SNL. This is ridiculous. Yeah.
And you know he's sitting there like, I'm not even halfway done. We've got like seven more ropes to go.
So, Ari, can you remember the first one you got? Who was on the cover?
No, I don't. I still, you know what? When I, one of the few moves I've had since college, I've been carrying them around from cellar to cellar. I'm like, you know what? I can't, I got to get rid of them. It broke my heart. No, this was years ago. But I did keep the Drew Barrymore one that I stole on a road trip to go see the Stones in college.
Drew Barrymore did Playboy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Know that.
94, I believe. Yeah. I think it was December
94.
I want to
see everyone naked.
Yeah.
I don't fucking care. I'm not super trying to do Barrymore.
Anybody's sex tape, man. I'll watch anybody fuck.
Right, I would watch you fuck.
Yeah,
without question.
I don't want to watch me fuck. I can't imagine anyone else.
I'm not gonna pull my pud to it, but I'd fucking
never
watch.
Had a sex
KFC
came out,
stroking off
today. Never had.
I won't get aroused. I mean, maybe get aroused. I don't know, but I will watch anybody fuck.
Maybe in college, I might not watch me, but. Not now. I'm all set now. I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to see me banging on camera.
I ended up saying I'd watch it, I think.
It's like a nature film. Like, you watch it like through closed hands. Like,
but. The list of people I wouldn't watch fuck is like...
Zero.
Osama bin Laden.
Are you kidding me?
You would watch Osama bin Laden fuck?
Watch bin Laden fuck.
I don't know if I could do that one. That would be a little too much.
Who about the politician, Christie?
Chris Christie, I want to see how it happens.
The physics
I
of it. See, it has to
yeah,
get
I want to see where that goes.
He has to literally lift his pupa and let that thing out of his cage.
Bro, you've seen him in softball pants or baseball pants?
If you could pair the best sex tape to release in the next like month, who would it be?
I mean, right now, go on the hot, good looking version of that. Like, God. I mean, are we talking like on the lowest?
No,
scale?
I was just looking for a combo from you guys. I'm just trying to spark it up here.
So in the next month. So I'm trying to think like.
Well, I'm just saying like if you could have it come out, right, you'd just be like, wow, this is like this would be a wow,
Ben
this would break the internet more.
Ben and J-Lo. Ben and J-Lo.
What an answer.
With that big old Phoenix tattoo on his back. J-Lo's grabbing the bird with the nails.
She's like a pterodactyl clawing at him.
Hey, I think if they got somewhat of a connection, if I'm him, lock her up.
Yeah, man.
It would be tough.
But she's not fifth marriage, man. She can't be locked up.
Yeah, she's
you can try. You can try, but she's
isn't A-Rod now crushing his ex?
That was the retaliation. You mean Ben Affleck's ex?
A-Rod. No. So, yeah, J-Lo's ex.
Affleck has about 90
A-Rod
exes.
A-Rod is crushing Affleck's
yeah,
ex.
They did a little switcheroo.
Really? I didn't know.
Not Anna Day.
This might be one of those ads on the app. Yeah.
No, Biz is talking about A-Rod getting back with his original wife.
That's
no,
what
you're talking about.
I meant A-Rod and
Ben Affleck's.
Ben Affleck's.
So, like, almost like
Jennifer Garner.
No, it's not Jennifer Garner.
Anna De Armas.
I don't know, dude.
Yeah,
no,
that is like you almost have to do that as like a
the woman
show
was
you
not a
up.
Famous.
All right,
actress,
now we got to trade. Make sure everyone has the same herpes virus. Yeah, so like, that's a little
that, dude, that's
straight
a
up,
that's a good pick by you though. I was gonna say Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox right now. The It couple.
Are they the It couple?
I would say they're the newest It couple, but those two are like the they've had the game for 20 years.
Back to the career thing, though. No, honestly, Kev, I didn't grow up. The only thing I wanted to do as a kid growing up was be a fireman like my father. He was a Boston firefighter. Mm-hmm. Like every little kid grows up, wants to do what their dad did. And that was like the obvious thing. But as I got older, I got to like, all right, do I want to go? Because you had to go in the service to get you to become a veteran if you wanted to get on when I was trying to get on. I was like, nah, you know what? I should go to college. Like none of my cousins had graduated from college before on like my mother's side of the family. So I ended up choosing that route. And it took a little while to find, career's happiness, but I wouldn't trade it. Like I got to a point like I used to get despondent every time a fire truck went by because it's like fuck, I used to want to do that, and then I realized like you know what, I probably wouldn't have been the best fireman. Like I wouldn't want to rely on me pulling me out of a fire. So it's like
buildings burning, like,
no, he busts through the window. They're like,
I could have been a bronze plaque by now. You know,
my dog's still in there, this is the guy
I actually got. They got here, and that's who it is. No, Ari, remember when we when we started the show and like at the beginning we didn't get paid for at least like 5 months. I would say we didn't make a dollar.
We're still making our bones.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he's like, hey, here's $1,000. They sent us like $2,000 cash, Barstool. We were like, and after you were saying like, dude, I've been writing for this site for 10 years, and like just to get a little money from it was just the beginning. It was I was happy
that's
for you.
That's the understatement of the fucking century.
Yeah, after every September
Dave
email,
said no
Dave.
To
so
yeah,
times. So can I get paid for a blog this year? And then I was like, wait, A, B, C, or D. It's like, all right, whatever. But I'm like, what am I gonna punt and be like, and take my ball and go home and start a fucking WordPress that 200 people read?
Well, that's why Dave did it. He knew what he had.
Right, and it's like, all right, or stay, ignore that, keep grinding, and have the whole fucking planet see what I have to say.
I mean,
so
what you guys
patience
is
a virtue.
Bananas. It's crazy.
It's been fun.
I mean, he took over the whole fucking space, man.
RA and Witt started all. Grinnelli hopped on board, and I was fortunate enough to get the nod, the late call-in. So, it's been a very special run. We were just talking about it with Kevin Weeks. Like, since we've been here, or since I've been here, everything that we want to try, we have not been told no.
Yeah.
And fortunately for us, it's turned out, some of the things have turned out to be pretty big. Other times, you might land on your face. But ultimately, that's one of the special things about working for this company is just your what's the word I'm looking for? Your
support.
Creative freedom.
Thank you, Ari. Suck it, Whip.
Hey, listen, I just tried to help. If you want to say suck it, go be a fucking architect. KFC, we've known each other a long time, and I remember I was in Secaucus working at the NHL Network, so you'd go to Gross Secaucus. Mm-hmm. You're at the network like during the day, at night, and the podcast had began maybe a year before that. Biz was on board, but I definitely felt like, wow, we're getting bigger. We're getting, get some more traction. And you sent a text to me. You're like, dude, this is amazing what you guys are doing. It was out of the blue. It was really nice of you. And I remember thinking, like, he's been doing this a long time. Like, for him to say
it was very
clear
that you had something.
Yeah, he's like, you said that you guys are killing it. I'm like, all right, that felt really good. That felt really good. Because it is true. At the time when it started, I did not think
I didn't have the nerves of like, wow, I'm kind of putting myself out here. I'm lucky I didn't think that way. It was also so small to me that I was like, I don't even know if people will listen.
Yeah.
But when you get into the game, you start thinking like, oh, fuck, I hope people like this. It's just so natural. And then so to get support and your text, that meant a lot. But then as it's grown and when he came, it just exploded. And I think
natural,
he was a big reason.
Natural is the way to put it, though. I mean, I feel like you guys having the hockey background, you as like the diehard fan, you guys obviously being in the league – is a big help, but the
we're all different
the
too.
Natural, but the it's like you guys. There's plenty of fucking players who know the game, right? But the ball busting and like the humor and the language and the slang and like all that shit, I think is what the big draw is. I could listen to you guys just fucking talk about. I mean, I guess that's what the podcast is. You just listen to you guys talk.
It's
but
become
the
that,
way
yeah.
way
we
you guys
have to
talk
do,
is
we might
so
have to do KFC
funny.
Radio style and not even talk about hockey. Yeah.
Well, that's what you're fucking lucky. That because people are like, what is your podcast about? I'm like, how dare you ask?
Loads.
I have no fucking clue, and don't you dare listen to it because I say stupid
but
stuff
it,
on
it.
What's
it
Joe Rogan's about, man?
Yeah, but that's the thing is if you don't have a specialization or whatever, it is. It's like, and the name is so stupid. The name is the worst podcast name in the history of the world. And so people don't know what it is or why to listen.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you'll tune into you guys for hockey, foreplay for golf, and then you'll talk about whatever you want, really. But there's a reason. And for us, it's like,
yeah.
I don't really know.
Well, you guys,
like,
you,
know.
You
guys
in the new guys, because
you
have your diehards, but
yeah,
the new guys.
But getting
like,
that new piece of why listen. I actually, originally, I wish it was just called like the Barstool Sports Podcast, because it was just about sports and chicks and viral videos
and
pop culture.
And stuff at this company.
But, yeah, and so that would it would have worked, especially when it was the only podcast. But Dave wasn't on it, so it couldn't really have that name, blah, blah, blah. I never thought it was going to be a big thing, so I was just like, I don't know. I was thinking of it as like, you know, radio stations have like the letters, like the call letters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like, KFC radio. And I had I known it was going to be like this, I don't know. I would have put much more thought into it because it's –
Do you get
about chicken?
Do you,
it's
do you like, get asked about the 1 minute man's quite a bit on this show?
Yeah,
do you guys talk about
that? When we a lot of the guests we've been interviewing will be like, oh wait, like,
you're
I
the
1 minute
man.
Did you have any second thoughts? Branding yourself as the 1 minute man?
Don't give a fuck. Man. Whatever. Whatever.
Hey, sponsored by Roman Swipes.
Yeah. You know how many girls are going to recognize you?
That was Witt's nickname in college.
Give them the opportunity to experience a 2 or 3 minutes.
Whatever. I'll prove you wrong.
I'll put on swinging.
That was it's. I'm kind of comparable to the not me, not really, but we were having a debate the other day on the podcast. Would you switch lives with Richard Gere? And it's not fair playing with you guys because you're like, you're already good.
Richard
but
Gere?
Like,
do, you know, do you know the urban legend about Richard Gere? You know him? He's the actor from Pretty Woman.
Yeah, I knew he was an
there's,
actor.
So there's,
yeah.
There's
Stallion the, back in the day.
There's a rumor, though, like an urban legend that he puts gerbils in his ass.
And like one time I had one stuck in it.
That's yeah. like a, that was a that was a curb
like
that
a
was a curb leg. Episode I think
yeah like it's a
was
pretty prevalent
one?
Rumor
well
that was
yeah
a curb
for that
episode.
To that,
Larry
for them
got
to
a
throw
gerbil
it
in his
curb
ass.
It's either that it was a very funny rumor that they all had a good laugh about or the fact that he knows that it's true
yeah yes. And I don't
how
big's
a gerbil
true, and I don't
I mean.
It's too big to go
and,
in my
I
ass.
Big to have
in
your
ass.
Ass. Yeah, yeah.
And it's
I don't think that
gross.
It's
a, it's, get it,
well, it's a big fetish. Well, I don't know if it's a big fetish. It's part of a fetish thing? Community, yeah, yeah. Among a certain subset.
But so
and
this guy, you know, you say he's a stallion. He's made money. He was in Pretty Woman. He's this handsome actor.
Officer
but
and a gentleman.
Every room he walks in, 75% of the room's going, that guy puts a gerbil in his ass. So I don't think I want that. I don't think I don't think I want that life, no matter how good the rest of it is. I don't want to be known as the guy with the gerbil
in
his
ass. I was saying today, like, my ass is so itchy just from sweating outside. That, like, I keep doing this in my seat, and I'm like, if I was Richard Gere, people would be like, he's got a gerbil.
Oh, it's up there right now.
Yeah. Like, anytime you're squirming, like, there's a gerbil in that guy's ass.
Even if it is a bad rumor, you got to admit, even if he has an ass itch, he probably avoids touching
right.
it. Because in public, you know, people, it's in the back of everybody else's
but
mind.
I think it's, like, cool to have a story where, like, people are like, oh, like, if I'm on the street corner, and I'm Richard Gere, and I kind of just, like, go like this, I got, like, my nuts stuck. And, like, people are like, I saw Gere that he had a gerbil in his ass. And, like,
you want
to send a family home with, like,
I also think if it's a rumor of that size, if it wasn't true, you'd come out and squash it.
Well, that it was,
yeah,
it was
but,
exactly.
Really
you
but then
you
validate
make a
it.
Statement?
Like, you know,
I'm here to tell you.
I mean, that's like,
I never put a gerbil
I wouldn't,
up my
wouldn't
corner.
Do that. But wouldn't you like I think it was back in like the 90s when it was like no comment was how you handled shit. But right now, if someone made a rumor that you put gerbils up your ass, I feel like you.
I would make a joke about
a
bat.
A gif about a gerbil, or you know,
I'd post a photo of my asshole and say, hey, "Look how tight this thing's in. There's no way a fucking
this thing's a fucking balloon nut.
Not even a baby gerbil could get in this fucking thing."
Oh, man, I
don't like
it.
The butt.
I
don't
like
the butt play. I had to. There was a back in the day we had a. stewardess for the Coyotes. She was good looking, and you know, I was in my single days, and she tried to get me into the butt play with a finger up, and I just
threw her down.
I was accepting at the beginning of like, okay, like it does it end
she
up
touching
like,
my taint or is she
no
going,
no she I would she say she in. Probably had about that much
like a knuckle.
One knuckle and I was just I'm like I don't, it's not getting any better I'm like. She was keeping it in there while I was getting tugged, right?
Yeah, so she wasn't doing
she
it
was
for
sitting
you.
Teepee style, and yeah, I couldn't get past the butt play.
She was sitting cross-legged, like at the
After
it was like the scene from Ghost, no. But it was as cold as hog.
No, legit. She, you know, they would clean up the plane after we would leave, and then she a couple times, you know, we had a little.
So you were just plugged. She wasn't like in and out. She just plugged it
she
and
plugged
jerked it.
And she was moving around a little bit to try to. And just I couldn't.
Wasn't for you, huh?
But he got in the lineup that next game, so he's like, "Got to do it again."
And then I shot a load that fucking blew up my ceiling fan. What was that movie? Van Wilder.
He just come in the ceiling.
Oh, I hate this. Oh. It's like,
all right, let's go next door.
Show them the video from today.
If it's gross, I'm not watching.
No,
it's not
gross. So there's
they sent me the one of the balls coming out of the guy's asshole.
No, this is
okay,
not
so that's Tom Segura posted that video.
So the guy pooping out his balls.
There's a new
Netflix show that's like a 50 Shades of Grey thing. It's like, you know, porny for and it's so the premise is
for chicks that don't actually get laid,
pretty much, right? Yeah. So there's a housewife who's like sick of her boring marriage and she's like rekindling with her old boyfriend who used to pound her out, right? And then the husband finds out about it and starts stalking him. So this is him. This is the husband.
Sounds like Richard Gere in that movie with the French guy.
Yeah, right.
He's got Unfaithful.
This is the husband, right?
Adrian Lyne.
And this is the guy that, the boyfriend. Lyne. And so he stalks him all the way to the gym. They go to the gym together.
Bah! Oh my God! What's this?
That guy has a
his face.
That's what his wife's getting.
No way!
Absolute
rope.
Like is that?
I don't want that.
That's a show. What show is
that?
It's on Netflix, bro.
I don't
know.
So
I googled it, and the actor said,
"I agree with you." I'm
what?
Like,
I want that for like a week. I want to work with it and see what it does,
I
want to be done.
If I had that, I wouldn't fuck. I'd just go to gym showers,
just be like, "Look at this."
Because guess what? The girls aren't like, "Oh, get that
the
fuck with me."
I'd be like Portnoy and make sure my sex tape's leaked.
Yeah, so it's a fucking what do you call it? A show and not a grow.
If Dave had that, his sex tapes wouldn't always be.
He'd be worth $1 billion. He'd be worth $1 billion.
He hides his piece on purpose in those videos.
He'd have four.
You never see it, right?
He's carrying around a wrench.
He'd have four houses.
If I had that, I'd wear leggings like Biz.
You can't tell me tons of girls are looking for that size.
No,
that's too big.
No chance.
I think that girls want like one time with that.
5'2" and under. That's a rough ride.
I think they would like to see it hard and be fascinated that an actual penis can get that big.
It doesn't fit.
No, he looks at it. He's like, "Don't worry."
They want it once.
He's like, "I'm actually not a grower, though, so you don't have to worry."
Yeah, just shrinks
like
that.
It's hard. Whoa, where'd it go?